Now you don't want to sing along. Corey Hall, sing it along for your pleasure. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Ooh, remember when, like, every show in the 70s had this theme song?
This is sort of Sanford and Son.
A little bit of What's Happening.
Is it? Let's pot that down. That's enough of that.
70s were a crazy time, weren't they?
It was crazy.
You know what I love about the 70s? Like, when senators would have big sideburns?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, like... Everybody was all slicked up and buttoned down, like Robert McNamara. Mm-hmm. They all wore like real clean suits in the 60s. And then by like 1973, they all had the blown out, like, you know, Will Ferrell, Anchorman.
They had long, right? Kind of ruffly back.
Like,
yeah,
look
hair.
At like Watergate hearings.
Yeah.
Look at the Watergate hearings. Look at like the congressmen and senators that have blown out hair.
Giant lapels.
Big
and stuff.
Sideburns and crap and crazy. That everybody, like the whole culture went, yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Yeah. Let's get crazy.
Yeah, no one was bothered. But whatever today's fashion is, as ridiculous as it'll look tomorrow, it doesn't seem weird.
I think...
at the time, I think.
That, well...
There's always people who are like, well, you know.
But see, some of that 70s stuff doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
80s fashion looks hideous.
Well, I know, but.
All those big shoulder pads and the pastel. What the fuck were people thinking? It looks dreadful. Just like, watch like About Last Night and see if you can.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were preppies, and like, the preppies don't look as stupid.
Right.
There was a lot of eyes on.
The 80s got progressively worse, though.
Right.
Like, if you watch, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, it doesn't seem too tacky.
Well, because it's a 70s hangover.
Right. It was 83 or 82 when that came out.
Well,
but, like, 87 is, like, just bizarre, wild shit,
80s
dumb
went in,
shit.
80s went in phases.
Yeah.
80s went, you know, every decade goes in a phase. The 80s, that early 80s, I think about 82, 83 is the best.
Okay.
That's when, like, everybody was kind of wearing button-down collar shirts and, like, big... polar fleece vests.
Yeah.
And then about 85, it just got ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everybody decided to...
You know, eventually you got into Cosby sweaters and that kind of stuff.
You had white
and...
guys in Iowa dressing like Breaking, you know, and then chicks all got
right.
those stupid boxy, like, lesbian shoulder pad look.
Are you talking Madonna-inspired gear?
Yeah, well,
we
Madonna-inspired
was
slutty, but that was, like, fashion model-y. Like, everybody had big suits and shoulder pads.
Are you talking,
and
like, neon?
Yeah.
And
I'm talking, like... you know, SNL sketches with, you know, Nora Dunn, where she, like, everybody started actually looking like that. Where
high
were,
hair.
Yeah,
and...
the you know, as Joe Bob Briggs called it, the frozen catcher's mitt, the big, that big hair that's on top. And then by the late 80s, you started to get, like, a hip-hop thing that got into everybody's business.
Are you talking, like, Reebok sneakers
and
workout gear?
Because it takes a couple years to filter down. But
sweatshirts with the cutoff collar.
I would say the nadir of the 80s was about 86. Like, that's when it really hit the toilet.
I agree with you.
That's when everybody was wearing pink and purple and, like, big pastel. And just, it's awful.
Miami Vice was probably
Miami
Vice.
Yeah, screw that Don Johnson right in the eye.
It was bad.
All right, I don't know why we're doing a fashion breakdown.
We're going to do a great show for you today.
Well,
it's Joel,
we're
going to
break down the entire Project Runway season.
Corey Hall over
which
there.
Just wrapped.
We're not going to talk about any of that. I have to say that we may have to stop the show suddenly today, and if we do, I'm going to apologize right now. Do you want to know what happened?
Uh-oh, what's going on?
Well, I have a medical issue.
Uh-oh.
That I'm dealing with.
Do I want to know?
Yeah, it's fine.
You don't appear to be ailing, so it's got to be something gross.
No, you can see it, and I'll show it to you in more detail.
Oh God.
No, I injured my lip the other day.
What?
I have a lower lip injury.
Really?
I have a lacerated lip.
How'd you do that?
Can you see it at all? Can you see, like...
No, I'm good.
It's your far away.
From this side of the studio.
Yeah, you can't see anything from there. But it was worse yesterday and the day before. I actually heard it 2 days ago. I was caulking something. No, it has nothing to do with caulk.
You know what I hate? When you get caulk in your mouth.
Yeah, you know what I hate? You ever take one of those caulk guns? You want to do that bit with me?
You ever take one of those, what do you call them, meat thermometers? And you just shove it into your ear as far as it'll go.
I did something not too far from
it. Oh, I hate when that happens.
So I'm caulking something, and I
we're,
decide...
We're doing a bit that maybe six people remember.
Long live the Ebersol years.
The 1985 season of Saturday Night Live.
Okay. So what happened was I was trying to seal up the tube of caulk with duct tape so I could use the tube of caulk again because I don't want to go out and drop $3 when I need caulk next time because I'm that frugal.
Wow.
So I took this roll of duct tape, and I tore the duct tape with my teeth when I was, you know, taking it off the roll, and the duct tape stuck to my lip.
Wow, really?
And I said, okay, and then I took the duct tape, and I removed it from my lip very fast, and blood and skin just was took, on the duct tape. And
just took a big chunk
off. It took all kinds of skin off the inside.
Oh.
You see there, the inside part of my lip. It looks like canker sores now, kind of.
Yeah, that's gross.
But it bled a lot. And it hurt like a motherfucker, and it swelled up with something awful. And I'm recovering from it, but I was talking to my girlfriend yesterday on the phone, because I was just out of it yesterday. And she calls me, and she's like, do you want to hang out? She was getting off work, and I go, you know, my lip's been bothering me. And she starts, you know, talking. You know how chicks like to talk, and we're talking and talking.
No, chicks.
And I go, you know, my lip's really starting to hurt from talking. And I went, oh, fuck. And I went, and the laceration opened up while I was talking to her on the phone for like 20 minutes.
Oh.
And then I said, okay, gotta go. So we're going to try to do an hour, maybe 2 hour show and
see if your
if it opens up, but it's better than it was yesterday. So we'll see.
Make sure your mouth doesn't split open.
Yeah.
We're not be doing a 2 hour show.
Corey's like,
all right, look,
Corey's like, wait a minute. I think 60 more minutes on my lip. We'll do a couple movie reviews. We're out of here in like 1:15.
Okay. Speaking of Project Runway, we also watch, we also around my house because, you know.
You, because
I enjoy getting laid regularly.
Yeah.
We watch a show called Work of Art, which is also on Bravo, which is the same format.
Right. By the way, if AT&T is listening, you can just take the Bravo right off my TV.
Yeah.
It never gets watched by me.
Well, it's for the girlfriend.
Exactly.
Right?
It's for the fags.
Right?
For the girlfriend.
Right? It's good. We watch Top Chef,
yeah,
all the Bravo competition shows. I draw the line at the Housewives.
The Housewives are on Bravo. It's the worst.
I tell her this. You watch a Housewives on your own time. She's not like, seriously, there's a couple shows.
Right.
If you're going to watch a Housewife, I'm not there.
Okay.
I'm going in the bedroom.
But does she watch the Housewives?
She watches one of them. She doesn't, like, she's picky. I don't know.
She likes New Jersey, but not Atlanta. Or
something like that.
Beverly Hills is good,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not doing down with.
She'll watch, there's a couple Housewives shows she watches, and the other two are shitty. And I'm like, what the hell are they different?
Yeah.
But I'm like, look, you watch the Housewives on your own time, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go watch, you know, NFL Network in the other room. You stick with this, or I'll watch politics, or whatever I want to watch. But that and America's Next Top Model, that is a bridge too gay.
Okay.
I can't do that. I can't do that show.
So you're watching Work of Art.
We do watch Work of Art.
Whatever that is.
Work of Art is exactly like Top Chef or like Project Runway, right? It's same show.
Right.
Bravo's got a factory.
Yeah,
they go.
They really do.
Which one was first? I can't remember if Top Chef or Project Runway was first. But the one of them.
Probably Project Runway.
One of them was a success, and they went, hey, let's do it with everything else. And so it's almost the same show.
It's the same thing, yeah.
And it's a now we do like Top Chef because we're, you know, food snobs. But to some extent, we like fancy cheeses, whatever.
Okay.
But Work of Art. Now, first of all, the premise of the show is ridiculous. They're making art.
Okay.
Art is very, unlike food, where you can basically go, this tastes good and this doesn't. It's easier to get a consensus on what tastes good and what doesn't, right? Some people might have a difference.
Okay.
But art is really subjective.
It is.
I mean, fashion, that's what I can't stand about Project Runway. I don't understand. I might go and look and go, well, it's kind of interesting that they had to take used tires and make a dress out of it.
Uh-huh.
I can kind of, from the craft perspective, I go, oh, but when they get to the judging, they talk about shit I just don't know.
Yeah.
And they're all prissy little gays. And they're mean bitches. And I just go, I don't understand why this is better than the other.
Yeah, I say that to my girlfriend, too. I'll say, I can't watch some of these shows because I don't know. Like, I don't know what, like, when I watch Dancing with the Stars, even I go, I'm not really sure if that was good dancing. I really don't
know.
Sometimes you can tell. But
you can tell somebody screws up on that show. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can
tell. But
when they flub or trip. I don't know if their pasta doble was
exactly.
Tight.
I don't know, and I go well.
And then
it takes
then,
a lot of the appeal away from me.
Those,
and I go, I don't know.
Those bone smuggling judges on that show start going, that was not a proper pasta doble.
Yeah, exactly.
Your quick step was off. It's not a proper quick step. And then no, you were so wrong. You know where is the passion and the love? I wanted to jizz into my pants. My pants are not wet from my soaking with my dick. I hate that show. Anyway.
It's exactly what he says.
He does. I want my big Italian gay hog to make my pants
watch
moist.
Watch with the Italian stuff.
When I, whatever.
Watch
what? Tell that.
Hey,
hold
listen.
On. You tell that fucking mincing Luigi to watch with the Italian stuff. He's like all he needs is an organ, a monkey and an organ grinder. Fucking setting your people back 200
well,
years.
Listen.
Hey, my mom, a pita pee.
We threw him out of. They threw him out of Italy.
They're
anyway.
About to throw Berlusconi out of Italy,
good.
Too.
No, good. I don't know. It's a real man, Berlusconi.
He really
is.
He, you know, like, much like Putin.
Yeah.
You know they're assholes, and we're probably better off without them.
Yeah.
But you kind of, I do have a kind of a,
sure.
I go,
right.
That's kind of a badass.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Italy's not waging war at the moment, but if they were, that mm-hmm. might be the guy you want.
Just Berlusconi's got multiple girlfriends running around town.
He does
town.
Not care.
He, like, owns the media in
he
Italy.
He doesn't care.
That's how bad it is in Italy.
Yeah.
He's forced to resign.
Yeah.
And he owns all the papers. Like, the shit, people go, no, it's fucked up. This is, you got to go. It's time.
Yeah. Well, what you have to realize, though, is that there's such a contempt. Like, the city of Detroit is every bit as great. Did you see the city of Detroit thing the other day?
What's that?
I'm watching this thing. This Charles, first of all, what's the guy's name?
See, Charles
I'm
Pugh?
Charles Pugh's in trouble, but the guy on Channel 2, when Charlie LaDuff went after him.
Oh.
You ever see this Charlie
I
LaDuff?
I love Charlie LaDuff.
We got a guy named Charlie LaDuff. Who?
He's an investigative reporter.
He's literally, like, if you took his check away, he'd be a homeless man. Like, you wouldn't know, like, I would put a quarter in his cup if I walked past him on the street.
No,
he's a bizarre man.
He looks like he should be, like, he looks like a regular club Bart. Like, he looks like, you know what I mean? He looks like a guy that would be hanging out at the bar
yeah.
waiting for the comedy show.
He looks kind of like a weirdo factory
and
worker.
Where's he from? Like,
he's from Louisiana.
Louisiana?
Yeah, he's from Louisiana.
Well, he kind of talks like, you know, like a real regular kind of guy.
Yeah, but he...
And he's got this weird thing, and he's like...
The first time...
What's the story at City Hall? It's jacked up over there. Like, he's like...
Yeah,
he doesn't do the typical kind of investigative reporter where it's like, you know,
yeah,
real serious. He's kind of loose.
He did a thing the first time about how he figured out he was black.
Yeah.
Which you see this guy, and this guy's not black
no,
at all, but
he figured out. He decided he was part black.
There was some Creole that was in Louisiana,
yeah.
and he feels that
he's
like,
185th
right,
black.
Yeah, and then he went into this whole thing, and he was like crying on camera about how he's black. He's just a bizarre guy.
Really?
Yeah, and he's
that's
he's,
funny because there's another guy on Fox 2 who's black who's now white because he's got vitiligo.
Yeah, well, that
so
they
go.
They hire all types over there, but they get this guy, and I think they just I think local news has gotten to the point where like. Like, you see a lot of the veterans aren't even there anymore. They all got laid off or whatever.
Speaking of...
and they just bring on either a bunch of rookies or they get some guy like Charlie LaDuff who's a maniac. So anyway.
I kind of like that, though. It's
yeah,
really,
I get what you're saying.
They used to have an investigative reporter on the other local news here, Steve Wilson.
Yeah.
Who main job was getting in Kwame Kilpatrick's shit. That was his job. Big, giant, fat guy. And one time Kwame security guys pushed him. Then that was a big story.
This guy is like...
But that's what LaDuff does. He's a big investigator.
He's Michael Moore fat. He's that kind of guy.
Steve Wilson?
Bigger than
he's bigger than Michael Moore.
Bigger than Michael
he's
Moore.
Fat, yeah. Anyway.
So the Charlie LaDuff.
LaDuff, he's an investigative reporter.
So he's investigating this guy, Charles Pugh, who ironically was on Channel 2 as an anchor. It's the whole thing is incestuous.
This is how jacked up Detroit is.
Yeah.
And they just changed the charter. They voted to change the charter so that maybe this kind of stuff won't happen as often.
Well...
Because what happened is they used to have the city council was elected citywide. It was at large bids.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen is people like they'd go, somebody would have their name on the ballot and they'd be known like Gil Hill,
mm-hmm.
who used to be the police chief and was in Beverly Hills Cop and was real famous for being in Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Then Martha Reeves got elected to city council.
Just elect anybody.
She was she had two hits in Motown in the early 60s. She was the worst council person in the history of the council.
Mm-hmm.
Dummy. Just utter dummy. And she got elected because her name was Martha Reeves. And people went, oh, I know Martha Reeves. So now they changed the charter so that you have to vote by neighborhood for city council.
Okay.
They've split it into regions.
So it's turned into like Congress or something where everyone gets a rep.
It's into districts.
Yeah.
So that might be better. But this guy, Charles Pugh, was on TV and got on because he was on Fox 2.
He's now the president of city council. And Charlie LaDuff somehow... He hasn't filed his, like, expenditure reports with the state.
Gotcha.
And it's illegal to not do these.
Mm-hmm.
And he said even Kwame had filed one. So he goes to Charles Pugh's office with his ATM receipts from his account. Somehow he gets a copy of the account.
Yeah.
And somebody went to Greektown Casino
sure.
and President Tuxedo and, like, Macy's with his account, you know, from the for whatever his funds, his election funds, were being spent all over town for like meals and clothes and stuff. And it was just the craziest, because here's a guy who comes from the outside. So it's pretty obvious that Pew was blowing this money on personal effects.
Probably blowing some personal effects.
Yeah, whatever. So he, you know what I mean? Like, so this guy's, who's pretty much, what, 2 years in?
Yeah.
Charles Pew? So here you get a brand new guy that's from the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's from, he knows how corrupt everyone's been, and he's been, and now he's doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where Charlie LaDuff's investigation is going to go, because I get the feeling he had Big Fat Steve Wilson or somebody who has some credibility done it,
right,
it might take off. But I get the feeling with Charlie LaDuff doing it, maybe it's not going anywhere.
Well,
but anyway.
Charlie LaDuff, you're right. He kind of does one story and then it goes.
Yeah. So
there's a big flap right now over Wayne County, which is Detroit's county.
Okay.
There's a big flap over the Wayne County Administrator's Office and how jobs were being handled out and how a woman got a huge payout, like a big severance payout, you know, when the county's like hemorrhaging money. So he was on that story. That story's been big lately. But yeah.
Yeah, here's, in fact, the story's up on the, it's pretty great.
Look at
he's in a, just look at Charlie. Just look at this picture. Maybe I can embed this on
He looks like
on JewelRadio.net.
You know he looks like the ghoul.
Like without the makeup. Right.
He looks like Ghoulardi. Remember, the ghoul was a horror movie host in Detroit who had crazy hair.
Charlie's wearing an Indian fringe jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And then under that, he's got some sort of like vest, like a leather vest with a tie and a shirt.
You know what he looks like? Doctor Who or something. He's like a weird looking
And then he's got like, he looks like young Colonel Sanders or something.
Well, what's Pew's wearing? A sweater?
And Pew's in his office. And
you're loving this story.
It's a great story. And even though
what's funny is that... Who was the guy that just left? Can you get the volume on that?
I don't know if people want to hear it at home. It's
a four-minute
story.
We got to hear a little of Charlie.
Today, Fox News' Charlie LaDuff is following one money.
Because Charlie talks funny, too. Listen to it.
Everything is adding up. Charlie.
City Council President Charles Pew is talking tough when it comes to...
And then look at Charlie in studio.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a suit that looks like it's from Value Village.
Well, the suit doesn't fit, and he's got like bad. His hair is.
His
crazy.
Hair is like he just rolled out of bed to
his
go to
crazy,
there.
Yeah.
Charlie LeDuff. Charlie LaDuff.
Well, we got to put a link to this video.
Yeah, this is great. Well,
who's fixing the city's finances? What he ought to try fixing first are his own, because what we have here is another politician in trouble with the law.
The Motor City could soon be running on empty.
We may run out of cash.
We're in a financial crisis. Detroit in economic turmoil, talk of collapse, bankruptcy, threats of Governor Snyder appointing an economic dictator to run the city.
Jewel, I want to turn this table over. The mayor of Detroit does not need to be talking about an emergency financial manager. We can do this on our own.
That's City Council President Charles Pew saying we don't need help with our political finances, even though he can't manage his own political finances. Pew hasn't filed a campaign financial statement in 2 calendar years. Every other elected official in Detroit is up to date. Even Kwame Kilpatrick for mayor filed this year in May, and he's not even allowed to run. I know.
Politics 101 say you got to keep your records together. And everybody that's getting in trouble, they go look at
their campaign finance reports.
Well, that's
it, like Eastern Market.
Politicians are required by state law to report every year all contributions and expenditures. Pew hasn't done so has been fined the maximum allowed by law. And he can't run for any political office until he catches up on that paperwork and pays the money. And when he's done, Pew's going to have to explain this. Dozens and dozens of ATM cash withdrawals from his campaign bank account. Expenditures at Nordstrom's, President Tuxedo, even
Jet
the casino.
Yeah.
Pew, who has aspirations for the mayor's office, granted us an audience at his smaller city council president's office.
Well, this is a visual, though.
In 2 calendar years, filed your own campaign finance statement in violation of state election law.
Right. And so we should be filing this within a couple of weeks. We realize it's going to be about... a $2,000 fine, and we're prepared to pay them.
Because Pew is like the next millennium black man, too. He's right out of, like, you know, the pages of Jet magazine or something, right? This guy, like, he's real hipster black guy.
He's gay, though, which is which is kind of shocking, actually, in this town.
That they know he's... I don't think he's... is he? He's not openly gay, but it's like it's not.
If he's on the down low, it's not far down.
Right, but I mean, he's not married. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious he's gay.
He's
ever come out and talked about
it. That what he's largely rumored to be gay.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of an accomplishment, actually, in Detroit for a gay.
But you know, if you're thinking that Charles Pugh is some ghetto guy that is being, he's not.
No, he's very slick and put together,
which I think is why people liked him, because he wasn't a thug like Kwame.
Right, because Kwame had
Let me just keep this playing.
Okay, what else?
People know who Kwame is because he says something real funny.
All right,
it's great.
It's kind of a visual.
Make the filings.
You think it's kind of ironic that you're hiring a financial emergency manager?
That's funny.
This comes from inside your office. It's a month of withdrawals on an ATM card to account to your campaign.
Okay.
So all of these have to be included in that filing.
Absolutely.
And they will. Okay. There's a lot of them. It looks like a gumball machine. You got receipts for this, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, our finance director had this card. This is not; these are not withdrawals. I didn't have access to this card.
Oh, so someone else was pulling it?
Yeah, our finance director and our campaign manager.
Passing the buck.
Wow, because they're like getting clothes and stuff.
Which is not proper.
It's like getting clothes and stuff. What a reporter.
You know what? He's got a point.
I mean, he's
pretty effective.
There's nothing that Charlie's doing that's wrong, but he's almost like Monk or somebody. Or he's so weird.
Yeah.
Who's
think these local reporters are getting to the point now.
It's
where,
like Peter Falk or something. Right. He's this weird.
We had a guy, Bill Bonds, who was legendary in Detroit. Because Bill was a typical anchorman. I mean, he was, when you see the movie Anchorman, he's from that model, although not stupid.
Yeah.
He was always a sharp guy, but Bill liked to drink the sauce a little
pompous.
Bit.
Pompous, yeah.
Very pompous and sort of arrogant. And, you know, but back when the anchorman in a local town, in a local market, was like a god.
Yeah.
When everybody watched the local news. But Bonds would famously get on the sauce, and occasionally he'd come on the air and seem to be a little cooked, or he'd go off in these weird rants and editorials, and people loved him.
Yeah.
Well, I think people are just sick and tired of boring local news.
Bland,
do anything they can to get attention.
Did you see the Conan thing? Because I'm going to pull out.
Conan does a local news bit.
You got to see what Conan was up to. Go ahead and talk.
But that's the thing. Local news has they're in a shrinking market everywhere. You know, the local news, the media is more diffused. People are getting their news from other sources. So local news is getting increasingly bizarre and exotic. There was a guy that just left here a couple months ago that I think went to Indianapolis named Brad. Do you remember the guy?
Who's that? Reporter?
Yeah, he was another reporter. Huh. But his delivery was really weird, and he could his stories like this in a weird kind of intonation.
Well,
he delivered every line in a way that was, you know, and these guys got to do that to stick out.
Yeah. Well, this is Conan. I'll just play this too, because we didn't see this. In fact, I think Conan sets it up, but he did a gay wedding when he was in New York.
Right.
And it was reported on by the local media all over the country. And Conan doesn't even editorialize. I think it speaks for itself. This is Conan.
Again, this is a little bit of a visual too. You know, ladies and gentlemen, our show, of course, it's, you know, we've made a little bit of news this week. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I'll tell you why. It's because on our last New York show, which is tomorrow night, we're going to perform a wedding right here on this stage. Now, I'm not talking about a comedy bit. I'm talking about a real, legally binding, same-sex marriage between our show's costume designer, Scott Cronick, and his partner, David Gorshine. Now, is this going to happen? Yeah.
I saw the wedding, too. It was every bit as awkward as you can imagine.
Of course, here's how it happened. Same-sex marriage isn't allowed in California, so Scott and David were going to get married during our week here in New York. And I thought instead of them getting married at City Hall, why not get married right here on the stage of the Beacon and do it right? Now, this will be the first, I believe, same-sex wedding ever performed on late-night television. And we're all very excited about it. Best of all, I am going to officiate the wedding myself. Now, I'm pretty good.
I apologize for the minute and a half.
I'm using that for everything now.
I could have set it up in 10 seconds.
Well, anyway,
we announced this. News stations around the country have picked up on this story, and each one is putting its own unique spin on it.
Talk show host Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be able to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on his late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope once again on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien is looking to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be preparing to push the late night envelope.
Well, I said,
it's great, right?
Well, now, but the thing about that is that what that's revealing is that there's a wire service that these people.
God bless our media.
Andy
we
is.
Gotta get an envelope.
Yeah, so anyway,
what that really reveals is that there's a wire service that these that they pull it off and they're so lazy they don't rewrite it.
They're probably doing their local stuff is fresh. And then when they go to the entertainment wire when you're in Duluth, Minnesota where these people are at. Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I even know this from our limited time in radio.
Oh yeah.
That there
morning radio gets wired.
Okay. Much like the political pundits, you'll see that they'll put this together sometimes with like politicians where they'll all come out and whatever the issue is, the party will have put out the same notes and then they'll catch like 10 politicians saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because what happened is somebody sent out a memo and went, hey, today we're going to talk about immigration. Mm-hmm. And they all come out and parrot the same thing. That's what happens. There's a wire service and they pick it up off the wire and they sit there like bubbleheads. And nobody writes news. Bill Bonds wrote his goddamn newscast.
That's true.
And that's why people liked him. Because he wrote the shit and edited it.
And they just put it up there. But, you know,
there's clips of him. He'll be mad when the guys wrote it and he rewrites the copy on the
air. Well, he's, you know, I guess these people just don't care enough to, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, they don't have the resources. Yeah. And in morning radio, they'll put stuff, you know, jokes, song parodies, funny news articles to talk about it. It all comes over a service.
It's what's on today's agenda. Yeah. And select host in your town. Mm-hmm. We'll go, oh, hey, or the show we used to do voices and characters for.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
And I've worked with guys who, you know, back in the day wrote a lot of that stuff.
Right.
For morning radio. And, you know, they'd work from home and they'd submit stuff. If it got picked up, they got paid.
Right.
And if it didn't pick up, they didn't, you know.
But... Sure. I mean, the now late friend of ours that had a morning show, that their show was totally like that.
Yeah.
So... that's what really shows up in that clip. You go,
they're not doing anything.
Look, that's why I like Charlie the Duff.
Yeah.
That's coming off his crazy freaked out.
Well, that was an example. As you're saying, all of local news is getting homogenized. Well, there's an example of it.
Except for investigative reporters.
Like Charlie the Duff.
Because those guys want to stand out. Right. Now, is Charlie the Duff going to line himself up for a job on NBC? No, I don't think so. Right? That's the problem. They get too weird.
But you know what? Maybe.
There's another guy. You know what's great? On Local 4, they have a guy who shoots his own video.
Oh.
Like, he doesn't even have...
Oh, the British guy,
the Nightbeat.
You don't see the guy.
It's Tim Pamplin for the Nightbeat.
Like, you know, you normally would see a guy on late-night TV standing up.
Right,
and they're shooting him. This guy just holds the camera and talks.
Right. He's a one-man unit. Yeah. They can't even spring for a cameraman. They just send a guy out with a camera, and he's like, Tim Pamplin, Nightbeat reporting. And then there's the really super gay guy that reminds me of Jim J. Bullock.
Who's that?
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, what's his name?
I can't take him seriously because he's really...
He's super lispy.
He's
and,
very swishy.
Yeah.
But
he's the guy who got Matt Millen fired.
How did he get Matt Millen
because
fired?
Because he questioned Ford Jr.
Oh.
And he started badgering him about, is Matt Millen are you going to fire Matt Millen?
Oh, was that him?
And he got fired the next day. Hank Winchester.
Hank Winchester.
Yeah, Hank Winchester.
But it's always like, Hank Winchester reporting. He's like the most, the openly
Hank
gay.
Hank Winchester.
Well, he's gay, but he tries to sound more anchorial and professional.
Yes.
He tries to sound professorial.
He tries to hide his.
Hank Winchester. Right. And it just, it's so.
Right.
The kid is so queenie. I love him.
No, but Hank Winchester got Matt. He didn't. Look, Matt Millen was getting fired either way. But Hank Winchester found him and, like, followed him down a hallway at, like, Cobo Center.
Yeah.
Bill Ford Jr.
That was Hank Winchester?
Hank Winchester. He was badgering about Millen.
Well.
And Millen got the hook,
you know, that was,
day.
That was kind of like McCarthy, where, like, the tide had turned on Joe McCarthy. Yeah. And then finally, what's his name, called him out on TV, Edward R. Murrow.
Okay.
You know? Like, he was ready to go, and then one guy went...
So Winchester, but...
One guy went, you're full of shit.
Because Bill Ford must have went, even the fags are mad at me.
Well...
You know? it's one thing to have beer-swilling Lions fans and Sean Bolesian mad.
Oh, God.
And then you get... You unload... You start, like, the Queens getting out.
Right, right. Hank That's Winchester. True. When the gays notice sporting events, it's bad. We were... remember, we went to a game... It was so bad for the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a game where... All the Lions fans wore orange to support the Bengals.
Exactly. Well, the Bengals were in town. This is when the Bengals were real good. I think it was 2004.
Yeah, they were making a playoff run.
And the Bengals were going to win the division if they beat the Lions or something, or guaranteed themselves a bye or whatever.
This was later than that because that's when Millen got fired. It was 2007, maybe.
No, Millen didn't get fired for this. No. Millen didn't get fired that year. No.
I thought he got fired that year.
No. Well, first of all, the game that we call the Orange Out was preceded by the Millen Man March.
Right.
And we didn't go to the Millen Man March because it was like 3 degrees outside. And we were like, fuck all that. But we went and we wore orange. Yeah. Actually, I wore a Lions jersey. And then when they were down by 24 points.
We ripped off our blue.
I took it off and had orange on.
No, I remember I had an orange shirt underneath. and I took my other.
And then, but yeah, that was just one example of the fan revolt that we had here to get rid of him. But and then, of course, the Bengals went on. They got their bye. Everyone came here. It was slappy. And then that was the game when the Steelers took out Carson Palmer's knee in the first playoff game.
Yeah, the Bengals exploded.
And then the Steelers went on to win the Super Bowl in Ford Field that year. So anyway.
But anyway.
That was the last time the Bengals. Well, actually, Bengals are like 6-2 now.
Did you see Millen ball?
Millen was crying over Penn State, which we can talk about next, I guess.
God.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, somebody did a parody of
Moneyball. They did Millen ball.
They did Millen.
I have not seen that.
It's, you know what? I don't want to bore the people who aren't Lions fans. It's a must.
Go look that up.
It's a must see. You will love it. It's
I have
so
not seen Millen
funny.
Ball. Yeah.
It's great.
Okay. But you want to talk about Penn
Matt
State?
Millen, Matt Millen, the famously inept Detroit Lions general manager, who was a Hall of Fame ball player. Played for the 49ers.
I think I want some chips.
Okay.
Sorry to break into the show.
No, go ahead.
Eat regular Lay's potato chips, right?
You want Fritos?
Give me the regular Lay's. I'm going to burn my cut-up lip, though, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there's too much salt in there. You're going to
see how we do. Corey's going to say, we have a chip break. You don't have no chips?
No, go ahead. Anyway, Matt Millen.
There's not two bags of regular Lay's. Is that why you're mad?
I think that's it. No, I'm fine.
There's Pringles up on the... All right, go ahead.
I don't need no chips. I ain't look at my tubby butt.
Talk about Millen. Come on.
Matt Millen was a great player in his day. Was a linebacker. Played for the Raiders and the 49ers and the Redskins. I think he won a Super Bowl or two, right? Oh, four Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
Then he became an announcer. Became a color guy, an analyst. Considered, like, everybody loved him, thought he was a great analyst, and in fact, there's many copies of him out there now. A lot of, that became like, remember it used to be guys like Lynn Swann and, Chris Collinsworth? Used to be like, receivers used to be
well,
analysts?
Well, Millen was sort of a John Madden light in that. He was this big, tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of those guys now.
Now it's like Brian Baldinger.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of knockoffs of Millen out there who even sound like him.
Millen was considered, next to Madden, the best analyst.
Yeah, he was considered
the heir apparent to Madden.
So we decided, like dummies in this town, to hire him to run the football team, and he drove it into the dirt. Anyway, so he's public enemy number one in Lions Nation, but he went to Penn State, and he all cried on the air over the Penn State story. And I'm going to sum up the Penn State story. Fuck them. That's my Penn State story.
That's what they did. That's why they're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck everybody involved. You know what? Fuck them all.
What about fuck college football?
Well, that's you're right in that, and that college football is a sham. It's a business in which institutions make billions of dollars off athletic contests where they don't pay people. That to me is a racket.
Well,
if comedy clubs never paid comics, and they barely do, if comedy clubs never paid comics, well, that would be a racket.
Football
right?
exists though. In the wider sense, the reason that college football exists is it's an advertisement for the schools. College football makes money off TVs and stuff, but the big money is that they're attracting all these students that now makes a school desirable by having a good football team. So these schools become more desirable
to students,
and then they make all that money on the tuition and the merchandise and all
that
stuff.
They make the money selling the merchandise, right. And they make television contracts right. that are absurd. There's no other way Stanford is going to make, as high as tuition is, they're not going to make the money that they make having television contracts. Notre Dame.
No, I would say tuition makes more than their an NCAA football contract.
Well,
I would think that 30,000 students paying whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what. These schools.
$50,000. I mean.
These schools wouldn't want to not have football.
Exactly. But football drives the profile of the school. Having a good football team is something that schools want.
They are massive.
Not so much just to win the game,
right.
but because it raises,
well, it raises
the profile
the whole,
of the
raises the profile of the school, but it's also a massive revenue generator on its own. And so what happens is you get a place like Penn State, which is a traditional football power, although they haven't done a whole lot in the Big Ten. They get in there, and it's everybody protects the money. They're all protecting the dollar bills. Mm-hmm. They're protecting the cash flow at the institution. And this is the same shit that happened with the Catholic Church. They didn't want to get busted. They didn't want to get hand in the cookie jar. So instead of protecting children, they protected the organization. And that's why they're all a bunch of finks. I think everybody involved ought to be fired. The only reason they haven't fired the rest of the coaching staff is that they got games to play.
Well, here's the beef, though. Here's the rub. What Penn State did was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's still going to the Michigan game on Saturday.
Right.
Or the Michigan State game. Or wherever you live, whatever your college is.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as people hate Penn State, you know, I'm not saying that every college is full of, like, child molesters.
Yeah.
But if there was a child molester deep in the, you know, deep in the hierarchy of a major university, like say U of M, they'd protect him too, wouldn't they?
You know,
I mean, don't you think that they would? So isn't supporting that in and of itself, you know,
I would hope
you're
not.
Supporting the institution.
You
would hope that a school would do the right thing.
I would hope. Now, granted, colleges have not done it. I watched a thing on ESPN the other night that was so, okay, college football is so ridiculous.
It is.
There was a 30 for 30 or one of those, just eating every chip.
ESPN Films.
There was one that was called Roll Tide War Eagle. That was about Alabama versus Auburn and their rivalry. Now, I could really give two shits about Alabama, but it was pretty interesting because it was every bit as heated a rivalry as we have here between Michigan and Michigan State or Michigan and Ohio State. It was even crazier. It was to that level. They had one of the profiles was a guy... When Auburn won, they went and put a Cam Newton jersey on the Bear Bryant statue on the Alabama campus just to piss people off. So a guy called into a radio station and was like, man, I wasn't happy when they put that scam Newton jersey on the Bear Bryant statue. So you know what I did? What? I poisoned their trees.
Yeah.
He went and poisoned, like, the there's, like, two big trees on the Auburn campus.
Or two big oaks or something.
Yeah,
they're
like, iconic parts of the campus. Yeah. And he went and, like, hit them with, like, he dropped.
But did he really call a radio station and
yeah, he
it?
Called oh, a radio wow. station and admitted it.
Yeah.
So they busted this guy. But this is insanity that people get to in the name of college
sports. It's insanity, yeah.
And this was a 50-year-old man for a college team.
Right, it's not like this was some freshman. It wasn't some fraternity prank.
No, this was a grown ass man. That show that was worth watching just for the calls.
Yeah,
that they you know they had like the guy who was the sports radio. Yeah.
But my feeling is people that hate that will still go out and you'll go crazy for some other, not you specifically,
right.
But you know you might watch that and go, what maniacs those Auburn and Alabama fans are. But fuck Ohio State right in the ass because they're a bunch of faggots, and I can't wait to beat those guys up. And it's like, you know.
No, you know what? I hate Ohio State with every fiber of my being.
I don't.
But I'm not going to go and poison a tree.
Right.
You know,
I know, but again. There's a level
where people get insane.
It's not that the guy wants to kill the tree. He wants to be loved by.
The Alabama fans.
By the fans that he's now a hero to them. Right. It's so bizarre.
It was insane. That documentary was crazy. Just how
I saw that was on the other day, and I kind of
you know what?
No,
and honestly, Alabama, I could give two shits about.
My sister-in-law,
is
an Auburn grad.
Yeah,
so I do hear little bits of that. I know that I know.
I guess if I had to pick one, I'd go Auburn because they seem to be slightly less dirty.
It doesn't have the word Alabama in the name.
Alabama fans were the dirtiest fucking jug band. Hill Jacks I've ever seen.
They're judgmental.
They just, you know what I mean? There's just guys that, like, look like they, you know who would make a fortune if a guy invented a place to spit your tobacco to carry around, like a little tobacco jug?
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? It was like
they got a big red cup or something.
It was like the president of the university had an empty, wide mouth Mountain Dew bottle to spit his chew into. It was just a dirty bunch of greasy hillbillies in Alabama. I hated that, and Auburn. Don't get me wrong; they were also Hilljacks, but slightly a better breed of Hilljacks. They were the uppity Hilljacks.
I think that's kind of the way that goes. I think Auburn is the upscale.
Bo Jackson went to Auburn, and anyway, it was pretty good. But that just shows you what's insane. And what's insane in the Penn State situation is they fire the president of the university.
Yeah.
They fire Joe Paterno, who's been coaching there since 1949 and has been the head coach since 1964 or 1965 or something. And students rioted and tore shit
up. They did riot last night when they fired the coach, but...
What?
It's insanity.
Okay, look, people can say what they want about the Occupy Wall Street protests, and they might think, you know, I'm sure there's cases where some of those guys got out of hand.
Yes.
Tear gassed the Penn State kids. Just, I mean, I am for going 19... I am for all four. I am not for police brutality. I think it's a shame what happened in Oakland with the Occupy protests. But in Penn State, I wanted to go 68 Chicago convention on these kids.
Yeah, you want that?
I wanted to go to Kent State on these mother
effers. No, you don't want them to go
get
to Kent
some
State,
rubber but... bullets. And I want not
you
real
want
bullets.
Some tear gas, some flash grenades.
I want a couple batons upside heads.
All right.
Let me tell you what you're defending. You're defending a crippled, pruny-dicked, old scum sucker who covered up a child rapist.
He did, yes.
A child rapist with more than one documented witness. Now, the other person who needs to get a calling in here, the two guys who witnessed sex acts being performed on children, and they went and reported it? Report nothing. You know what I mean? I'm going to report to the cops how I beat that guy's ass. I don't want to get all Johnny Macho. I don't want to get Jughead. But I'm sorry.
But
this is a declaration
I'll
make.
This is why you should hate college. Because that's all they're doing is trying to protect the team.
Well, the kid,
and they're trying to protect the university.
One guy was a janitor, and the other guy was was an assistant, right?
He
was a coach, or was a what was it? TA or something?
He was like
an undergrad assistant or something. It was a grad assistant, grad school assistant coach, and now he's on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get in trouble, and he went and reported it to Paterno. No, okay, maybe he did the right thing. If I saw somebody take money out of the safe, you know what I mean? If I saw somebody lift some cash out of the petty cash or whatever, or if I saw somebody doing something slightly less criminal, I'd go report that and say, well, I did the right thing. I see a guy buggering a child.
Okay, you know what? That's enough of you.
I'm just saying.
But the point is, when you're the janitor at Penn State, you don't want to lose your janitor job. At Penn State, there's a reverence for the institution, and that's where this all comes from. And the reverence is undeserved.
I'm going to tell you,
it's
right
not
now,
deserved.
If I caught
ridiculous.
If I caught Carrot Top cornholing a kid in the green room at a gig,
right?
I'm just pulling.
Yeah, and you're playing the MGM Grand, and you're making $2,000 a week.
Accusing Carrot Top.
You're saying you'd give up that gig.
How would you, as a human being?
Right.
I'm just going to look. Any other crime, I'm going to look the other way. But I cannot sit there and imagine I can watch a kid getting raped. I don't think I could do that.
You don't know, but you know what? You're not in that situation.
I'm just telling you.
I understand. Well, that's where the outrage comes from, is that nobody can believe. It's funny because it wasn't just one guy that was like, oh, right, look the other way. A bunch of guys looked the other way.
It's bad enough. It's bad enough that Paterno tried to sweep it under the rug and kind of like they fired the guy, but they kept it quiet. That's bad. But when you see an act in progress,
that's crazy.
You don't break it up.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time,
that's insane.
That's insane. But that's the world we live in.
Ugh,
people care more about, you know, people don't care about people. You know what? You say that, and then but people don't care. And I'm not saying you,
right?
But I'm saying there are people out there that don't care.
Yeah,
there's people whose jobs are more important to them than the well-being of a minor. Well,
I'm not Phoenix Jones. I'm not out there as a vigilante. You know, I'm not putting on a mask and patrolling the streets. Like Kick-Ass.
But I
will tell you this much: if we knew a guy that got busted on the sex crimes registry,
sure, yeah.
If I'd caught him,
I know
doing,
more than one guy that got busted
right.
on the sex.
Okay, now we never saw him do anything,
right?
But if I caught him hanging around the playground,
yeah.
Unless the guy's PJ Butlin size, unless the guy's like 6'8" and he's ripped to heaven, he's catching an ass beating. And I'm not trying to be Johnny Hero here,
but this is my feeling. Forget about beating the guy up. Let's get rid of these colleges. Hey, take your college football, shove it up your fucking ass. I never need to see another college football game in my life. I don't care about it.
You hate
it's ridiculous.
Football.
But that's one of the reasons that I hate it. And then look, I'm not saying every college football team has their employees, you know, raping little boys. I'm not saying that.
No.
But what I'm saying is, you know, when you have institutions like that where everybody watches each other's backs, everybody protects everybody else, and you go ahead and you do whatever you want, and we'll cover it up for you because we like you. You know, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the same thing.
Well, look, when I suggested that we burn every Catholic church to the ground,
yeah,
I'm called a crazy, insane
Not by
lunatic.
Me.
But you know what? That's okay, this is one school. Right.
Right.
Now, if this is happening in every school in the Big Ten where there's a sex trafficking ring where they're passing around pages.
Alleged.
That's crazy talk. We'll see what that comes of that.
Yeah.
If that comes, fuck them.
That's
right.
Insane. Yeah.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Fire Lou Holtz. Lee Corso.
But
shut down ESPN's
You know, it's one of those things where there may be an erosion of mainstream support for like major college football programs, but it ain't happening overnight. It's going to take generations where people don't give
a
fuck anymore.
A 50-year-old man poisoned a fucking maple tree.
Yeah.
Because he's nuts.
Yeah.
Because the passion for this sport is so insane.
Well, that's insanity.
I mean, okay.
It's too much.
You ever read Among the Thugs, which was a book about soccer hooliganism
in
the 80s?
No, that's a pretty good comparison to make, I think.
Okay. People always look at that and they go, well, that's just crazy what happens over there.
Sure, yeah.
We're not that far
off.
We are really not that far off.
I agree.
And particularly when we have a whole network, one of the most powerful networks in American broadcasting that devotes, you know, how much of the schedule is devoted to college football? Probably
30%. What are you talking, ESPN?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they have ESPNU, which is all about college
sports. They have an all-college channel. I mean, Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
Which, by the way, and then, like, you know, these. I'm not sure. I know the Big Ten Network, I think, is owned by Fox or is some sort of subsidiary partly owned by Fox or something. But ESPN owns, like, is it the Big 12's channel or the SEC network? There's a network that ESPN actually owns the network that is, you know, they're in bed with these people.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. But
they're in bed with NASCAR and guys get killed driving NASCARs. But. Know. Whatever. It's this story is so repugnant.
Well, if it would stop, if there was, I only wish there was more of this. If it would stop people from caring about college football, and that's not going to happen. So,
well, come on. What?
No.
Your hate of college. You don't like college football because
it's bad football.
Yeah, that's sloppy.
More or less. But the fandom and the marching bands and that stuff does bother me too.
Really, you don't enjoy
because
any of it?
Here's what I think in pro football when your team sucks.
Yeah.
We don't like them.
Right.
We get mad. We get pissed off about that. And you know what? And you go to Ford Field and there's empty seats because the Lions sucked for all those years.
The Lions, by the way, were on a list of teams, professional sports teams in trouble financially.
Well, they said that they're the only NFL team that like lost money in the last fiscal year.
But they're rebounding this season.
Yeah, they're back on track now. But you know,
I thought that was shocking because I thought they were still making money when they were losing.
But I think they're losing their
0-16 season wiped
their
them out.
their season ticket fan base.
Yeah.
And actually, that might have actually been more about the Michigan economy than it was about, you know, their corporate suite sales.
I would
went
say
down
that's a, that was a perfect storm.
Yeah, it wasn't that the team sucked.
They were epically awful, and then
the economy,
people just bailed out
too.
Of those season tickets.
But in pro sports, when your team's no good, people stop showing up. People stop giving a fuck. People stop buying the merchandise.
Yeah.
And the University of Michigan, just to give a more local example, mm-hmm. was really bad for a long time.
They had about three pretty bad
everybody
seasons.
Just, you know, there's nothing you can do. Just, you know, when Ohio State was the very best college football team,
mm-hmm.
the Michigan Slappies still would not back away from, you know, somehow conceding that Ohio State was better. They would not, you know what I mean? Michigan fans would not even concede.
You know what, and I think the reason you don't like college football is it probably comes closest to European football.
No, you could say
look at teams. Newcastle sucks so bad that they got dumped out of the Premiership. They're back now and they're good.
They're back now, okay.
But you know what I mean? Those teams never lose fans.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
and they're awful and they get relegated out of the big league. And the teams, the fans still support them.
Yeah, I don't like the whole culture behind major college.
Well,
anything. Sports, major college, academia, it doesn't interest me.
Well, there
it's
you go.
None of that.
All right.
Well, so it's all boring.
Maybe if we'd gone to college, we'd have different perspectives. Well, but
I went to Wayne State University, baby.
All right, yeah.
I went to New York University.
Well, you went to
which probably has like a handball team or some goddamn thing.
Maybe,
and then I went to Wayne State.
Maybe if we'd gone to schools like that,
but you know what? I didn't go to those schools because that annoyed me, and that's why I went to urban schools like NYU and Wayne State.
Oh, okay,
that's part of it.
I do got to say, I hear people that are Michigan State fans, and I just go,
"Yeah,
you're grown men." Like it's cool to like your college team,
yeah.
and blah blah blah. But I think it's like high school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not living and dying by Berkeley High School football anymore.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the college game is probably elevated.
But you didn't even go. You follow Michigan. You didn't even go to Michigan.
No, I know. but I grew up. We grew up.
Yeah, okay. Up but, you know.
But I think that is kind of nuts in that it's blown way out of proportion to. It's cool to like your college team and follow them for a while. But, like, when you're 70 years old and you're roll tide roll and you're fucking living and dying.
Yeah, it's too much.
Because it's Alabama.
But it's the same thing. You know, certain pro sports have that, like the Cubs have that and stuff. These fucking Cubs. I mean,
the Cubs can suck for a million years.
They go to this Wrigley Field because it's this great day out, and you watch this awful Cubs team every fucking year. You know, how about you don't show up? How about you stay home? But they can't do it.
That would be.
They can't not sit in the stands and have a beer on a Wednesday afternoon. Just if they wouldn't do that.
It would be as if the Brooklyn Brawler was the most popular wrestler. You know, you're right.
There's a good story about him in Bret Hart's book, if you want to.
Oh, good. Oh, good. But,
okay.
You're
Pat
right.
Patterson's boyfriend. But, okay.
Oh,
go ahead. But go ahead. Yeah.
Joel gave me a list of blind items for wrestling.
It was the greatest.
And it was all just about how every name, you know, Blackjack Mulligan, you know, Outback Jack.
Yeah. This wrestler liked to take a dump in the carpet of the hotel room.
Yeah, it was
what?
It was just the worst stuff.
Yeah,
ever.
It was
every
horrible.
Kamala, the Ugandan headhunter. Would like to start every show by peeing in the mouth of an Asian girl.
Yeah.
No, just like, it was just insane stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't believe half of it.
Right.
But
and believe
nice.
Me, you can hate pro wrestling for that reason if you want.
Sure.
There's enough backstage
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you were talking about college football.
No, don't get me wrong.
Pro wrestling is the dirtiest scum cavern.
Well, listen, I've been in the world of professional wrestling now. Especially in 2011, I did a lot of pro wrestling shows and hung out with a lot of pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I've said comics are some of the most depraved, bizarre, whack jobs in the world.
Wrestlers, no comparison.
Wrestler, here's the deal. Okay, here's the difference between...
I've met a few wrestlers, sure. A lot less than you.
But you've, like, met The Rock, who's, like, a movie star, too, though.
Yeah, but I've met guys like Rob Van Dam and Virgil.
Let me tell you the difference. Okay. Comedy, the guys in comedy...
Yeah.
Are a bizarre. You can find a weird,
wacky,
you know, drugged out,
sure.
You know, crackhead comics, guys who blow their entire check at the strip club, guys who gamble away all their money, drunks, you
degenerates,
any drug under the sun. And wrestlers, you know, you see the same thing, but my feeling is that the difference is only in that the job that the wrestler has to do is
more
that
challenging.
Is that much more difficult and that much more physically intense. And so I think it drives them. So I think on a scale, I think comics are actually crazier than wrestlers. But I think that wrestlers are overall crazy, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, they have to do more pain medication.
Yes.
They have to self-medicate much more fiercely than comics.
Yeah, comics have sort of easy jobs, in a sense.
It is the easiest job.
Yeah.
The only hard part in comedy, once you learn how to do it, it's hard to learn how to do it, right? Yeah. I just had a good week in comedy, and I feel like I wasn't worried about bombing.
Yeah.
Right? I was on a streak where some shows were better than others, but I didn't feel like bombing.
You were playing to good crowds.
I was playing to good crowds, and I wasn't afraid. Yeah. When you play to six people, then I'm like, fuck, get me out of here.
The challenges...
But once you get to a level in comedy where you know how to do it, that the only challenge is getting the gigs and getting there.
The challenges of comedy are like more social in that the pressures are like... You do a show, and you know you play to thousands of people, and then you go back to a room and you're by yourself. And it's that sort of challenge as being away from home, dealing with bookers and agencies. That in wrestling, you deal with all of that on top of
getting hit with a chair.
Yeah, I'm pulling glass out of my fucking forehead at the end of the night. And you know, so when you deal with wrestlers, they are crazier than comics. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But professional wrestlers also deal with more. So it's more
especially on the indie circuit that you occupy. Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's even though, because those guys are making no money or less money than they
those fuckers are so bloody after the matches. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I have to buy these tub of baby wipes to take my clown makeup off when I'm speaking of it's my fucking great life. so I'm taking, like, I'll take my clown makeup off and then I'll just sit there and there'll just be a guy just bloody sitting on a couch backstage. And I'll go, like, you want these baby wipes? Like, do you want to get that blood off your face? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure.
That doesn't bother me.
Like, they'll just be sitting there with blood pouring out of
door oozing open down wounds. His face.
And I'll be like, do you want? Because, you know, sometimes there's, like, no sink in the dressing room or whatever. Sure. And so you got to go out to the fan bathroom. So they're waiting for the fans to leave or whatever. Or guys will just get in a car. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll stop on the road and patch it up.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, do you want these? And I'll be like, oh, that's so nice of you. And I'm like, yeah, clean your fucking self up. You look like a fucking mess.
They're nuts. They're insane.
They're an insane group of individuals.
One last note on wrestling before we move on. And
We're going to move on to more sane topics like the Republican debate.
I didn't watch it. I just saw I did. You know what? I watched like the last Republican debate and live tweeted it, and I went, what was I doing?
You were live tweeting the last.
I did.
You're insane.
It was fun, though, because like Patton Oswalt was on there tweeting, so it was funny. One last note on wrestling and ESPN. And I watched another ESPN films. That was about Chuck Wepner.
Yeah.
Who was the inspiration for Rocky.
Yes.
And about his life and his struggle to not die in the ring. He was a bleeder and was a big galoot and a big palooka and was kind of a tomato can.
Mm-hmm.
But he was strong. He could take punches. And he fought Ali and knocked him down and lasted till the 15th round. So that was the inspiration for Rocky, and Stallone pretty much admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
But now Wepner had to sue Stallone because it was great. Everything Chuck Wepner did, Ali stole. Stallone stole.
Yeah.
Like he had a match with Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And Andre kind of flipped and threw him out into the stands.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, Wepner hit him too many times, and Andre just picked him up and threw him over the top rope. And it might not have been the work that everything else was.
Sure.
Well, Vince McMahon came on there to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince McMahon, a man I wouldn't pee on if he was on fire.
Not a
man.
A real skunk,
Who killed Bret Hart or killed Owen Hart by getting him in a faulty rig.
Right. Well, it was worth it because they were going to do... They were going to do an off-camera entrance for the live fans where he came down on a ladder. It wasn't even going to be on camera. I mean, I'm laughing.
I'm sorry.
I'm not laughing because Owen Hart's dead. It was horrible.
But okay. Yeah. We could spend all day talking about what a scumbag Vince McMahon is who pushed dangerous drugs on his employees.
Yeah.
Has stiffed his people. Anyway, he had the unmitigated gall, this bullshit artist, this felonious hoodwinking criminal, has the balls to get on there and talk about what a jerk Stallone is. That his angle was like, Stallone's a creep. because he didn't pay me for using Hogan in Thunder Lips in Rocky III.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Vince's angle.
I think he wasn't even working for Vince when Hogan did that.
He might have been
working
AWA.
For the AWA at that
anyway,
point. Yeah, so
he basically so Vince.
I mean, I think by the time it came out, he was in the WWF.
I could not believe that one, they interviewed Vince, and two, that Vince got in there and had the unbelievable stones. Yeah. The giant clock waits to call Stallone an asshole when he's Vince goddamn McMahon. What a piece of garbage.
Yeah, Vince is a real character.
What a piece of work.
Yeah, there's not a hell deep enough or hot enough for Vince.
I mean, really? I mean, come on. He's provided me with decades of some of my favorite beloved entertainment memories. But what a jerk.
Well, none of those have happened probably in the last 10 years, though, I'm guessing.
Probably not since Stone Cold left.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The WWE is so bad.
Yeah.
It's almost unwatchable. I mean, I
was watching it in the Rock and...
Sure.
And
but that was like 98,
Steve Austin
97.
Era. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
96.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, screw you, Vince.
Yeah, Vince can fuck right off.
What a jerk.
While you're burying the Penn State guys and Joe Paterno... And all these guys.
By the way, Vince is probably not going to make the cut, but candidate for asshole of the year.
Oh, well, but he's in like an evergreen.
Every year.
Always.
You can put Vince in every year.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that you just go. Because I was working on my assholes of the year the other day. And I was like.
I loved it.
I'd spend a couple hours.
Time to get a job.
Every couple of weeks, I'll sit down in front of my word processor and go.
It's time to brush up that resume.
Assholes of the year. Yeah, I'll have it right here. It's probably the last document I worked on, as a matter of fact.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, because I... Oh, speak...
All right.
So did you hear what Ashton Kutcher did? I just refreshed my... So Ashton Kutcher went on Twitter. This is. We'll end the Penn State thing with this. Okay. He goes, how dare they fire Joe Paterno?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, people tweeted him and said, you know what he's accused of doing. And apparently he just found out that Joe Paterno got fired, having no knowledge at all about the rest of the story. So he's like, he's so caught up in his world. Whatever that is, that he didn't even know what happened at Penn State. Aww. And then he apologized and said, I will no longer be tweeting. I'm turning my Twitter over to my management company. So he is no law. He is basically retiring from Twitter.
And he was the king
of
Twitter.
He is the number one celebrity Twitter. And he's now saying that he's going to retire. Not retire from Twitter, but he will no longer be tweeting himself. He will be...
good.
There you go.
Good. One good thing came out of this Penn State scandal.
Now you know a possible candidate for asshole of the year.
There's an upside. Look, what a douche, the Kutch. What a dummy. What a
But it's
clown.
Like one of those, you know, it's like one of those things, like, geez.
He did that, and he decided not to tweet anymore?
Well, yeah, because everyone gave him shit. They're like, hey, wait a minute, you're supporting Joe Paterno? Do you know what's going on?
Right.
And he literally is just admitting, like, he doesn't support Paterno's position. He didn't know what Paterno was accused of even doing. So he basically just woke up and heard that Joe Paterno and then immediately jumped. That's why Twitter, and there's a story I read recently about how Twitter will ruin your stardom.
Really?
That if you're a celebrity.
Well, because, you know why? Because you do. Look, when I go on Twitter.
You shouldn't tweet if you want to be a star. That's the argument that someone was making in this article I read. Because the argument is that everybody's on Twitter. Every 13-year-old girl has a Twitter. The guy down the street has a Twitter. The guy that cut your hair has a Twitter, whatever. That if you want to be a superstar, you should make yourself inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
And to just put yourself out there on Twitter devalues your celebrity.
Well, what I like on Twitter is that there are people that are big names that tweet, like Steve Martin and Albert Brooks and stuff, and I can follow them, and that's cool.
Okay.
And they actually... I think a lot of these stars, it's not them. It's their publicist. It's their agent. Or they
Isn't Steve Martin putting out a Twitter book?
Yeah.
It's a book of his tweets?
But they're funny, and you can tell that he wrote them.
Okay, but is he not commenting on the news of the day like Ashton Kutcher is trying to do?
Usually, though, it's in a joke context.
Sure.
What I like about Twitter and what I'll do with Twitter is if I have a funny line, but I don't think it's going to be something I'll keep in the act.
Let's go to the Corey Hall Twitter, and we'll read them.
Yeah, there's not, I mean.
No, it's fine. I'm not going to put you.
But you know what I'm saying?
They can hear you right now.
More often than not, it'll either be an observation or a joke line that I don't think I'm going to put in the act.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not. Although some of them I have actually made in the act. But it's a nice way to just write them down and put them out there.
Sure.
I don't have any followers. I got, you know, I got barely anybody on there.
Well, it's hard, but I mean, it's hard.
Really hard to build momentum, I think.
Yeah, especially with all these celebrities out there. Yeah.
I've only been on Twitter like a month and a half. And people,
well, give your people your Twitter name. Maybe people will follow
you. It's at Corey Hall Comic.
Corey Hall Comic on Twitter. You can also follow Upchuck Live on Twitter.
There you go.
If you want to know, all I really do on that is promote shit.
Mm-hmm.
Although you can see the Upchuck the Clown Cupcake on Twitter if you want to go.
Right.
Somebody, my friend, made an Upchuck the Clown Cupcake.
And what is kind of cool about Twitter, and I resisted it for the cupcake, really.
You want to see it? It's kind of cool.
Oh, man. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm going to follow this story.
You motherfucker, you got me.
Oh, Jesus.
You brought me in with the Upchuck the Clown Cupcake.
But what is kind of cool on Twitter is that you can actually tweet to famous people.
Sure.
And a lot of the times they'll respond to you, or sometimes they will. Like, one of my friends just got a reply from Amari Stoudemire the other day.
Oh. Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I got a tweet from Hammer.
Right.
Hammer said, Upchuck Live, what's up,
buddy?
Well,
you'd actually met Hammer.
I met Hammer, but then, like, right. I mentioned him on Twitter, and then he mentioned me on Twitter.
Right.
And I went like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Right.
Where is my...
Like, not that I think he would, but I just worked with Doug Stanhope last week, and so I could probably tweet him something and see, you know, whatever. But some people actually do respond and use it, but... Ashton Kutcher really was a Twitter whore of the first order. I mean, wasn't he like in a race to get the first million? Well, that is frighteningly accurate.
That's pretty good. I look, it's so big, I can't
that
even.
That is alarming on every level. That is, why don't you post that up?
You want that on the front page of JewelRadio.net?
Good Christ on a pony.
Do you like, it's pretty good. Do you know who made that?
Who is that?
Our friend Chrissy.
Oh, really?
Made that. Yeah, she used to work at the cupcake station.
Oh, okay.
Before she moved out of town. But she made the Upchuck.
Well,
the
good for Chrissy. All right.
Yeah, good
that
for Chrissy.
It's disturbingly accurate.
Tasted awful, by the way. Yeah. I ate the fucking thing. It was horrible.
You ate it, really?
Yeah, I was hungry.
You didn't put it in the freezer?
Yeah, she brought it over, and I'm like, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat this fucking
thing.
You
ate the cupcake.
I ate the cupcake.
Wow, it's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good, though, right? Yeah.
Nice job, Chrissy.
Go, Chrissy.
Oh, man. So what's next on the agenda here?
Oh, okay. So, we could talk about the Republicans if you want. Listen, we had a very funny conversation about Herman Cain, only in the regard of his pizza place was the worst pizza place in the world. Which, if you want to go down that hole, we can do that.
I will. I will. I didn't really see the Republican debate.
It was in Michigan, in Rochester, right. Not far from here.
Actually, I think Amy said that she could have gotten tickets.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know if I want to sit through it.
Yeah, I don't think Amy wanted to sit through it either.
But there were tickets floating around school.
Yeah.
I couldn't go.
I didn't see it either.
I don't think I could have sat through that with a straight face.
Perry forgot the three branches of government.
Rick Perry is a dunce. He flubbed his way. Like,
but you know what? He's a human and he forgets shit. But it also shows that he wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Here's the thing. As much as people want to call Obama an asshole and just talk about how terrible he is, he would never in 1,000 years do that until he's 80 years old. That, you know what I mean? That's a guy who's got his act together.
Doesn't this prove, though, that debates and actual performance on the job as a president really aren't related in any way, shape, or form? And in fact, the guys that win the debates usually don't win there's usually some guy that wins. Who was the black guy that won every Republican debate? For years.
Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes would win every Republican debate.
Couldn't get
one fucking vote. Right. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. So my feeling is doing well doesn't mean anything. That's the thing. It's one of the debate is something, if you do poorly, it can hurt you. But doing well doesn't really win you anything anyway.
I still think you ought to be able to coherently argue your points and keep your, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I want a president who's smart.
Sure.
Okay, Reagan was a great debater.
Yeah.
I didn't like Reagan, but he won debates.
He was a good debater. Yes,
So I want a guy who is quick on his feet and can think sharply. Yeah. This Perry seems like a nut.
he seems a little like Bush.
Well,
George Bush.
Here's the problem. I'm sure Rick Santorum. If I was grading on the Republican scale, if anything they said didn't sound like bullshit to me, I would probably go, well, Rick Santorum did a better job at the debate than Rick Perry, but Rick Santorum couldn't get arrested.
Exactly.
They look at him and they hate him.
Well, what's
amazing to me in this Republican field is that the guys who, to me, I look and I go, there's like, I would not be terrified if John Huntsman was president.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I look at him and I go, I probably wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't go, oh, sweet God, it's the end of the... Like, when McCain put Palin on the ticket, I was worried. I was like, this is
awful. I mean, but to me, that moment was just like, It's over. You should have celebrated that. You should have had a fucking parade that day.
Well, it became evident.
Because you were an Obama supporter.
Speaking of debates.
But of course, I called you. Yeah. Me and Court, I believe, might have been on the phone when she was announced. Like, literally, I think I called you to tell you that Tina Fey. First of all, I called, number one, that he would lose, and number two, that Tina Fey would do her the next weekend. And it was exactly, I had it so right.
Right.
And I think I was just calling you because it was goofing on her, going, well, they just lost the election.
They really did.
And it's obvious, but here's my thing. They don't have a guy that
can
win. They
got nothing.
And that's the thing. Obama is ready to go. I mean,
yeah.
Anybody could. What is the problem with these Republicans?
I don't know.
Anyone. I feel like anyone can beat Obama. And when I say anyone, I mean anyone except for the guys that are running, because they're all going to lose to him.
I'll tell you what. When you say the debates aren't that important, I think the debates now really aren't important.
Yeah.
But there is usually that one debate.
When it's down to the final two guys or something. Yeah.
That one debate, people do tend to make their mind up based on that.
And if there's undecideds in the actual campaign and not in the party.
And I think,
if I'm
Obama, he's got to be thinking, good, come on. Because he'll, in any of these debates, he'll stomp whatever they
throw. But that's the problem is why can't they find, like, what is their, I mean.
Because the party has been driven. Like I just said, John Huntsman, seems like a guy that I would go, all right, I'm not terrified of John Huntsman.
Right.
He could be president, and I would go,
sure.
All right, I'll grin and bear it, right?
Yeah.
Like Bush Sr.
Right.
Okay, Bush Sr., I didn't like particularly, but I didn't, when he was president, I didn't go, like Bush the second, I was, every day was agony. But the first Bush, I went, I hated him.
I know you did.
I hated that guy.
I know. Well, he's gone, and look how great the world is now. So anyway. Well, that's the whole Occupy movement, in my opinion.
Okay.
Is all based
your
on...
cockamamie
opinion? Well, no. When Bush was president, any horrible thing that you got mad at Bush. That was the thing. It was a knee-jerk reaction Bush. And now you can't get mad at Obama because that's your guy. So now you're mad at everybody else. And it's.
I would say this. They should have been mad at the banks during Bush.
Sure.
But you're right. They had an easier target.
But that's the problem. And that's why the Bush stuff I always felt was a little unfair to him and a little off base. And it's easy to pick on him because he would stumble over his lines in a speech and he would forget shit and he would say dumb stuff and he fell off a Segway and he choked on a pretzel. And he did a bunch of dumb shit. Look, I'm not defending the
like
guy
invading Iraq.
He invaded Iraq. Whoops. Yeah. You know, whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Whoops. You know what I mean?
That's how fucking crazy it is in the economy. Obama's like, we're fucking out of Iraq.
Yeah.
Sean Stone, our friend, who works
he's in the Pentagon.
He's in Germany. He's in he's on a military
base. High level military man.
He's on a military base in Germany.
Okay.
And I was visiting him last summer. Anyway, and they have what's great about Armed Forces TV. Instead of commercials, they have like all these PSAs for the Army. You know, or the military, whatever. Like, tie up your bootlaces so you don't trip. And you know what I mean? So, like, if you get depressed, reach out for your chaplain. And anyway, he said, like, they were running ads like, don't send any letters to Iraq after November 17th.
Good.
Because we gone.
That's
like,
good.
That was it. That was basically it. Like, we out of there. No more mail after November 17th. Yeah. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Well, that look,
but he's not getting any boost for that.
I mean, Osama bin Laden's dead. Gaddafi's dead.
Gone.
We're out of Iraq.
Yeah.
Guess what? Shit's still fucked up.
Hey, by the way.
So,
way,
you know.
Where was the big, you know, remember there were a couple idiots that were like, what happened with bin Laden? This is a Gaddafi. This is a travesty. I haven't heard one fucking beep since he died. It's been about a week after he died. No one said shit.
I think they still want to like try the guys. They're going to investigate.
You know what though?
There
was absolutely no international.
There wasn't. There were Iraqis. Yes.
There was absolutely no international support. No one in the world went, what? Oh my God! They killed that guy. What an awful thing.
Yeah.
No. Good. They got that piece of shit.
They are saying that they may investigate, but the people that would be guilty of it wouldn't be like the Americans.
Okay. Now, granted, you can't take the same guys that whacked him and immediately go, this is the government of Libya now. That's probably a bad thing, right? But
they're saying it's going to be fundamentalist Islam rule, which is like, hey, that sounds like a great recipe for success.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. There's a possibility things could be better in Egypt.
Sure.
Because in Egypt, they at least have education.
Yeah.
They at least have...
They have an economy.
They have an economy.
It's based on tourism, but it's
They at
it's
least
still
have
economy.
Something that resembles a Western society already.
Libya has oil,
right.
And those oil markets are now going to be open but to the West because
the problem
they're not
is
embargoed
be
anymore.
When you have these countries that are revolting now, like Syria and Libya, they're fucking cave people.
Sort of,
to
yeah.
a certain extent.
Well,
in that they've been suppressed for so long.
See, this is,
it's not going to be tomorrow. You know
what
we're not going to turn
you
around.
You know what
and go,
I've heard about the Middle East that is pretty stunning to me, but I saw a video on it. I don't know if it was 60 minutes. Somebody went there. But they say the most westernized young people, the most modern hip,
are in Iran.
Plugged in, are in Iran.
Yeah.
How weird is that? Because
yeah.
you think that's the most repressive place of all.
But, you know,
and the Iranians
they were the first. They were the first ones to revolt,
yeah.
but it got put down.
Yeah.
Now, what happened in the other countries that what happened in the other countries is that the governments didn't have as much of an incentive to stay in power. The governments crumbled when put heat on. In Iran, those guys are hardcore. But
do you look at the Middle East and go like, hey, if you think about what, you know, Eastern Europe was in the 40s and you go, hey, even 20 years later, everything was cool. Is there a possibility that after all of this Arab Spring and everything
you know
that's gone this year, that maybe we can have that, or even what happened in like 89 when the wall fell,
look,
in the end of the Cold War, that we would be friends, that maybe there's a possibility that the Middle East won't be this fucking raging pack of lunatics like it has been.
Anything is possible.
Since the 60s or whatever.
Anything is possible.
It went crazy.
Large portions of Japan were turned to cinder.
Yeah.
Okay? People talk like, they act like we didn't invade Japan. We bombed the shit out of
yeah,
them
yeah,
before,
true.
You know, and before we dropped nukes.
And they were killing us in the Pacific all before that.
Yeah,
and they were fucking flying bombs on balloons and shit. To the West Coast. I mean,
the Pacific War doesn't get as much heat as the European theater,
right?
And it was crazier
because it took place on little islands in Midway and these places.
You know? My grandfather was in the Philippines, and that was crazy.
Yeah. Right.
The insane. He never wanted to talk about it. That's how crazy it was. I mean, any video game you've ever seen, it was nuttier. People act like we didn't, you know, they dropped nukes because they didn't want to actually have to put Marines on the ground in Japan because those bastards would hang in and fight
exactly
till the last second. I mean, there were entire platoons, units, 30,000 guys on Iwo Jima just wiped out because the Japanese wouldn't surrender. We bombed them almost to oblivion. Tokyo, like 60% of Tokyo, was firebombed with napalm and just cinders of the earth. Well, by the 60s, Japan had turned around and become an economic power. By the 80s, they were kicking our ass.
Yeah, so maybe.
So things can happen.
Right? I guess so.
Right? Things can change.
But was this the change?
The crazy militarism in
that
Japan
that we need
gone.
Was Egypt and Libya and these revolts. Algeria, are these the things that we need? And Iraq, which we largely accomplished.
I think we're going to need. Well, I think we're going to need to have one of them go right.
Yeah,
Egypt's kind of the linchpin. If Egypt goes well, if Egypt turns into a stable government that is somewhat open, it's not a totalitarian regime, and they have some semblance of sort of democracy. Even if it's not like what we like, even if they go in a more Islamic fashion, that's going to help.
I guess so.
That's going to help. And Iran will crumble eventually because you're right. Because you said they have.
Yeah, that's just amazing.
Ultimately, Russia fell not due to anything
that we did, really.
It's something we did. We had a more successful society. Yeah. We had Coca-Cola. We had fucking rock and roll. We had
people
Bruce Springsteen. We had blue jeans.
Right.
That's the shit that wore down the Russians more than anything else. Did you watch that Beatles documentary?
Yeah, absolutely.
How everybody in Russia formed a band to try and be the Beatles?
Exactly, yeah.
That's the kind of shit that works. Eventually,
well,
in the long term.
People want iPhones.
Right,
and
right, PlayStation,
yeah.
People want better lives.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the desire for a better life is what causes a
and
revolution.
It's universal, even though you think these people... See, people. I think people in the West assume that people that are living in like mud huts, you know, eating out of garbage cans or whatever they're doing, are happy doing that. Because all they want to do is pray to Allah and kill us, and that's really not the case.
Not really, no.
But there's some. Not
sure.
Saying there's not nobody, but you know.
You know what the reason why those people want to live in mud huts and pray to Allah and kill us is because they live in a totalitarian system that's oppressed them for so long, where the money is taken all to the top and nobody else has. They got what happens? You know what happens? The Middle East is actually You want to take a look at our country, and I think people are a little overblown because we live fairly well in America. Although it's not, it's starting to turn,
and people are
losing their houses, yeah. and a drop of that makes Americans flip the fuck out. Well, look at like people in Saudi Arabia is stable for one reason. Mm-hmm. They spread the cash around.
Yeah.
They got so much oil money. Yeah. That the regular people, Saudi Arabia gas costs 9 cents. It, like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah,
like the cost of living in Saudi Arabia, they're smart enough. The ruling powers go, we got so much fucking money. Let's spread it around and keep them quiet.
Yeah.
In places like Syria where they hoard all the cash.
Right.
Then you eventually do that long enough and people explode no matter what ideology, no matter what religion, no matter what system. If the rich get richer than everybody else, there's a point where people go, well, fuck this.
Yeah.
And that's what happens everywhere. And the Middle East is like an extreme example of that, where, you know, then there's Africa, where ain't nobody got shit, and they just keep fighting for no good reason.
Africa is like,
jacked up.
But Africa will be the last place that is civilized in the world, though, right?
Well, it's a resources issue,
yeah.
You know?
The Middle East,
at least they got oil money to spread around.
But see, one day we'll be able to just, you know, pull water out of the air and electricity from the sun, and they'll be fine.
You would think, but
right.
That's called Star Trek, and we're still not.
Well,
there.
You know what? There's an argument made, and I forget where it was. It was in a movie or something. No, I think I know what it was in. It was in part of the global warming argument. That what Africa needs and underdeveloped countries is they actually need an electrical grid, but we won't build them an electrical grid. We send them bags of rice,
right?
And if we gave them an electrical grid that they could use. That would be more beneficial to them. But we can't build an electrical grid because it would have to be powered by coal or something. And the environmentalists won't let us build coal power in Africa because it's going to pollute. Well, and God forbid, we can't pollute. So here's another sack of rice.
Well, but
deal with that.
It's called unintended consequences. Look at China.
Well, okay.
35 years ago, China was under repressive communist dictatorship. And they all rode bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have Walmarts.
Yeah.
And they didn't have cars. And we said, hey, there's a big market in China. They got 1 billion people. Why don't we start selling them shit? Look what happened in Russia. We started selling them shit, and they caved. Why don't we try that with China? Well, look what fucking happened with China. They all got Fords. They all got BMWs. They all got cars. They got KFC. I went to China 15 years ago. The line at KFC was the longest fucking line you'll ever see in your life. I literally went to the KFC in Tianemen Square.
Because I was say, like,
you could take every KFC in an inner city in America, multiply it by 20.
Exactly.
And that KFC line was insane.
But here's the point with that.
But what happens is, that's the one thing we got to worry about. When you raise the standard of living, you get a more stable situation. Everybody lives better. You have less wars.
Sure.
You have less chaos. But you get people consuming shit.
And even they don't want the Kung Pao chicken. That's the argument I would make.
There you go.
I say it's too spicy. These people, they go, no, and we want the KFC.
By the way.
You go to Beijing, they line up.
By the way, there was no way were they not eating Chinese food. They just happened to like
one
KFC
day,
food.
I have a dream that one day.
No, they were eating the shit out of the Chinese food, too. Don't worry. Don't give me
I have a dream that one day the people of India will be eating Big Macs.
Oh, that's wrong.
And that's my
Indian
dream.
Indian food's awesome.
Fuck Indian food.
Best food in the world.
Please.
It's amazing.
Fuck all that. All right. Let's move on. What do we want to get into?
It's your caveman. Oh, God. Is Geico hiring you, you goddamn Barney Rubble? All right. What's next on the goddamn
account? Do you want to get into TV cancellations? We can talk about Eddie Murphy. We can talk
Has anything
about...
gotten canceled since last time?
No. And in fact, I think we're really going to be waiting on this. I mean, first of all, we're in the midst of sweeps right now. It's November sweeps.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would think that they cancel stuff during the sweeps, but...
Well, some shows have only had a couple episodes, like Man Up.
Yeah, well, a couple of them just come on. Here's what I've got is being canceled. Playboy Club ran 3. Free Agents on NBC ran 3. Hater on the CW ran 4. And How to Be a Gentleman ran 3. They've also canceled Charlie's Angels, but it's still airing on ABC. So we don't even have whose prediction was right on that. Although you predicted 3 and Matt predicted 4, and I think they were already over that. And
well,
I predicted 8.
When did they pull the plug, though?
Yeah, but I mean, it's about how many episodes actually make the air, not when they pulled the plug.
We should have done it the other way.
No, it's fine because how do you judge when they pull the plug? What am I gonna have?
When they announce,
have a mole inside the meeting.
No, because they will say we
okay, but then how do
show?
You assign points based on that?
Will you get how many till they canceled it?
No, it's how many actually made the air.
This is just because Joel's winning.
Well, listen,
those
you got lots of opportunities to win. In fact, I was looking at this the other day. And I'll give you a good opportunity where you have to win. You want to hear one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You predicted. There's one that you did that was a better prediction than the other two of us made. You predicted Whitney going 13.
Yeah.
And that looks like a good prediction. I predicted 8. And Matt predicted 6.
You guys both.
We both said. Listen, I just want to say, and I think I've probably made this already on the show. I want to apologize to Whitney Cummings right now, private, personally, if I can,
really?
On the air. Yeah, because here's the thing: you're not the most untalented, annoying bitch on television, and I realize that now.
I know who you're gonna say,
and I realize that now because you have this is a world where you have Olivia Munn, who is I forget. For some reason, I was living in a world without Olivia Munn, and it was great. And then somehow she showed up on TV something. She was off the G4 show. They put her on NBC on Perfect Couples last fall.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of that. She was in some movie with Sarah Jessica Parker promoting that. Mm-hmm. That movie made about $12.
That movie was dreadful.
And now she's effectively out of show business. And yeah. So I want to apologize to Whitney Cummings because I realize all of the opportunities and all the media appearances that Whitney Cummings is making, that really should have been Olivia Munn who got her own series. It really should have been Olivia Munn doing this and that and the other thing. So I'm apologizing to Whitney Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
Two broke girls can suck my dick, but at least she's not on that piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst show on TV. And New Girl the other night on Fox, which we both kind of liked, put on a super bowl winder crap episode of New Girl. You've never seen worse television.
What did you call it? A bowl winder?
A bowl winder of a television show. It was the biggest piece of shit. Listen.
You know what? I really think they have a problem. They missed Damon Wayans.
Well, he was good, but the two characters on there that don't work are her friend,
mm-hmm.
who is some model.
Yeah.
And then they have this guy that's basically doing the Barney character from How I Met Your Mother,
mm-hmm.
who's like the super stud who gets all the chicks. And the episode revolved around those two.
Well, I wouldn't believe that and guy could get laid
exactly
under any circumstances.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's basically they have two guys on the show that kind of look alike, but one guy's stubbly and that guy's ugly. And then the guy that's clean shaven and has hair gel is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who has messy hair and a beard is ugly. It's the most bizarre thing. But then again, you know, Zooey Deschanel's ugly and no one will fuck her.
Well,
and
that's,
when they flashback,
that's an incredible premise.
They flash back to her childhood. And they got a fucking butterball in horn-rimmed glasses running around.
Yeah.
And I go, believe me, Zooey Deschanel did not look like that as an 8-year-old girl. You can go fuck yourself.
I don't know what she looked like as an 8-year-old girl.
She didn't look like the girl that's playing her as an 8-year-old on when they go to flashbacks.
I don't care what she looked like as an 8-year-old girl. What she looks like as a 29-year-old girl is something I'd fuck all day, every day.
Well, listen.
Look, and that's the problem with that show. If let's say you, me, and pick a name at random,
sure.
lived in this house. We had another.
Oh, Chill, some hot chick.
If Chill lived in here.
Oh, Chill.
And then Zooey Deschanel.
I'm picking black
guy. I picked a black guy.
Yeah, okay.
Just to match the show.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Lundy.
Oh,
whatever.
We're living in fantasy land, so go ahead.
I'm just trying to mirror the show.
I ain't living with Chill.
Okay, and thank you. All right. Dig Johnson.
Look, they were next.
I'm inserting a black guy.
They were next door, and I wasn't happy. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
go. Now you go.
You're the worst.
All right.
That was, in fairness.
I had some janky neighbors.
In fairness, that was a multi-ethnic crack house. There were like shirtless white guys.
I described this as black and white trash living together in harmony.
It really was it was a wonderful melange of garbage. There was like a, looked like Ronnie Dobbs. Like, you know what I mean? Ronnie Dobbs from Mr. Show.
Mr. Show.
He was the most arrested guy on Cops.
Oh, okay.
That was his thing. And he looked that there was like always a shirtless guy in the summer.
There really was.
There was like a shirtless white guy. Yeah. Hey man, hey, Taniqua, get your ass in here. It was always like that. It was
right,
like some hilljack white guy and just sketchy black people.
I remember there was this white guy this guy had to be in his 60s, right? About 98 pounds. Always in like a wife beater and like a trucker hat,
yeah,
running around like toothless. And he'd come up and talk to me. He's like, let me, and he, remember we're talking about something and we had to maybe move something that was in his yard. He's like, let me get my son out here. Hold on a minute. Hey, Charlie, come on out. And DMX walked out of the house. You know what I mean? Like the blackest guy.
It was a really, it was.
What is this, your son?
No, it was a United Nations of garbage in there.
Dad, what you need, Dad?
And then, like, a toothless Puerto Rican guy would come over. And, like, hey, just, what's up? Chucho's here. It was, it was a whole bunch of mess. Yeah.
Look, there's something called blended families. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes the blender doesn't run long enough to really blend.
I don't know what was going on.
That was, first of all, I want to just say that they're gone.
Yeah.
That now that house next door is occupied by white men and women that make up or comprise largely 2 to 3 rock bands. I'm not sure the exact number. Really, I really just have to put up with the Sunday night band practice. And that's about the most bullshit.
Well, you know,
that
you can make deal with that.
I can deal with that.
There's been a lot of neighbors next door in the time you've lived here. But those particular hillbillies.
It was so bad. It really was. And look, the cops.
They weren't even next door. They were like 2 houses down, right?
No, they were next door.
They were directly next door.
And
to the crackers.
Not only did the cops were there frequently, the cops were there on a weekly basis, and only a third of the time was from me calling them.
Yeah.
So that's how bad it was.
No, everybody else took a turn in the neighborhood calling them. It was so great. Sometimes we would just go sit out on the porch and like quietly watch the shenanigans going on. Because
there was so much.
There was always somebody coming up and doing the.
You were there when they arrested the guy on the bike, right?
Yeah. Yeah, cops rolled up and arrested
him. There were people squatting in the one room.
It was crazy.
It would
always be like, you're right, there'd always be like some guy coming up and doing the 8 Mile alarm, the doorbell. Where they, you know, they come up.
The honk the horn.
Hey, man, Lucita, come out here. And, you know, it was always some kind of shit. And
it really was.
A guy whittling on the porch. I don't know what was happening. It was like deepest Alabama.
There was for a while.
There was a guy that poisoned the tree.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had to go outside once, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, look.
I poisoned they goddamn
trees. I said to the neighbor once.
Roll damn tide.
Because, you know, their driveway sort of is against my house. And since they were so scary, I never even went to that side of the house. But I had to go out there because I was trimming something.
You have to
something.
Mow the lawn.
And I said to the guy, and I think I was having a tree cut down that was actually on their property. But anyway, I went out there and I said to the guy, I said, hey, buddy, would you mind moving the engine away from my house? There was an engine just sitting out there, like a car engine that was leaning against my house. And I go, hey, could you move that? Mm-hmm. I think that's when he called his son.
they had to cut a tree. Anyway,
yeah, what are we talking about? Do you want to talk about? Oh, so Herman Cain. That's how we got on.
By the way, you're sneaking this into a 2-hour show.
It is. Right. We're over an hour and a half.
Christ,
Herman Cain,
dummy.
You said Godfather's Pizza.
Well,
was the worst pizza.
Herman Cain is such a look. The whole. I don't know about the allegations.
But people are going crazy now because they're saying it's all white women, and now we're racist that it's a parade of white women coming out.
Well,
that now the media is racist.
Has his wife said one word?
No. I don't even know who the wife is.
The wife is, when Clinton, God bless him, when Clinton got busted with every skank from Little Rock to fucking.
I think he slept with a couple of my old neighbors.
He really did. Clinton would put it in anything.
Clinton,
I mean,
really didn't.
Although, about the originally with Clinton, like when he got elected, people knew, because didn't Jennifer Flowers come out and like he had a couple like hot blondes that he was nailing, and then it was like Denny's waitresses. It turned into Tiger Woods, where he was just any port in a storm, right? I mean, that's what. But like,
well, Paula Jones was the one, right? Mm-hmm. That sued him, actually, right?
Yeah, but she lost her case.
Right, but she was like a scary redhead. She looked like a Waffle House waitress.
And you know what? I never believed that because I thought that Clinton had better taste. But then he got caught with Lewinsky. So,
right. He had blonde, brunettes, and redheads, all sixes or lowers. It was amazing. It was just really.
I don't believe, by the way, and by his real girlfriend just passed away, by the way.
Who was Clinton's real girlfriend?
Eleanor Mondale.
Eleanor Mondale, yeah.
If
was
you
alleged.
Go back to the Star, not even just alleged, if you go back.
It's in the Star Report.
To the Star Report. What was his secretary's name?
I forget.
Virginia.
Betty, was it Betty something.
Okay.
No?
In her logs, Eleanor Mondale had like 45-minute private meetings with the president.
Right.
Like, repeatedly. Like.
No, she would show.
Every couple weeks.
She showed up on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And I guess it was alleged that they were going for jogs together.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but they would log that she came in.
Valerie Cooper.
Yeah.
No, that's Valerie Plame.
You're thinking of Valerie, yeah.
Anyway,
that's a whole other
whatever.
Story.
If you go back and you look at the Star Report and Clinton's, in his personal secretary's logs,
right.
Eleanor Mondale showed up like every other week for 45-minute private sessions with the president. Now, Eleanor Mondale was the daughter of a former vice president, and, you know...
She was active within the party, so
an activist.
You say...
But 45-minute private meetings every couple weeks? You tell me what was going on. And she was a top-shelf piece ass.
Yeah, Eleanor Mondale, she banged Arnold, too.
Yeah, good-looking
chick.
She
banged Arnold back in the day.
Anyway, off the Clinton thing.
Yeah.
Back to Herman Cain. I'm not shocked when a politician gets caught with a taste for tail.
Not at all.
Not that he's a politician, though. He's a business guy.
But he was running the National Restaurant Association when he got in this trouble. And they made payouts. But I guess because they're under seal. Because to me, it seems like all of this stuff, record keeping, would answer all of these allegations.
My question is, how long is the seal?
No, they're like court ordered judgments that neither party can discuss them.
And how long is the hush
they're
order?
Private? No. They're private agreements that the parties made from one to another. So it's like there is no court record to look at because they what would happen is they would sue or threaten to sue.
Yeah.
And then when they would settle it, they would be settled out of court. And so that there was no record even of the lawsuit. So, I don't know. But these women are alleging like Herman Cain upgraded my motel room to a suite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, isn't there a record of that? But Herman Cain's defense is, not only did I not fuck these women, I don't even know who they are.
Okay.
I've never met them. And he's completely full of shit.
He went all in on the defense.
Yeah, he's absolutely.
Now, look what happened when Clinton did that.
Yeah.
Clinton was like, he didn't say I didn't know Monica Lewinsky.
Right. That's what he didn't do.
He said and if he'd said that, he would have been really full of shit.
Sure.
But he said he didn't have sexual relations with her, which is nonsense.
Right.
He got busted doing that.
Well,
when you make the lie big, it gets worse.
And
if
I think
Joe Paterno had fired the guy at the time and had reported it, it would have been a scandal. It would have been bad.
But
it wouldn't have been as bad as covering it up.
So you're saying Cain, so let's say it is revealed that Cain did upgrade this woman's hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the whole thing is a house of cards and that, since he's lying about that, he's also lying about did he reach between her legs and tried to grab her snatch?
I would. What I'm saying is when you go all in, when you put all your chips in on the I didn't even know this woman.
Yeah.
All you need is one.
There's a picture of them together.
One receipt, one picture. There's already somebody that went on Fox News and was like, no, I saw her talk to him.
Exactly, yeah.
Like
he's clearly lying at this point, in my opinion.
Right. That's when he gets busted. Sure. If he had said, these allegations are false, that's different than saying, I didn't know her, never saw her. Because apparently the story was she recently approached him and whispered in his ear, like, I got your ass. And he was, like, you know what I mean?
Hear that, but
no, yeah. That's okay. Somebody, some radio host said that they'd seen her approach him at a campaign event. And like talk to him, and he was kind of like, "Oh shit!" Like, quietly listen to her whisper in his ear. Sure. Like she was like, "I got you."
Right, and if the women take payoffs,
but when you do that, whenever you do the full, I didn't do it. When Gary Hart, who was leading in the polls, in '88, and probably would have beat Bush over this chump Dukakis, he went, "Well, come find me, I dare you." And then they found him on the boat banging a girl.
There's pictures of him and the woman on his
boat. That's when you fuck it, is when you get stupid about it.
And here's the thing, and I'm not saying I'm the world's brightest guy and I know everything, but I know this, and I think Corey would know this as well. If you see two people together, a man and a woman, you know if they're fucking or not. I mean, is it safe to say that you would see?
Not always.
No, come on. I mean, but you know what I mean? You know.
I have a good hint.
You have a pretty good idea.
Much like
who's banged somebody.
Much like I personally feel I have a pretty strong gaydar.
Sure.
And when people are like, oh my God, somebody was gay. And I go, no, you really? I'm not shocked. I knew they were gay.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay. When you read a blind item and said Simon Pegg was gay.
Right.
I'd met Simon Pegg.
You say no.
You know what I mean? Like,
that
story I could easily dismiss.
Okay,
because I talked to the guy, and I knew he wasn't gay.
Oh,
like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Are you fooled by who's gay a lot of times? No.
Not usually, yeah.
That's the same thing, what you're saying.
Right.
When you see somebody together, I get a good sense.
Or you just meet somebody, or you know that someone would want to fuck somebody, and then they deny it, and you go, get the fuck out of here.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, be like,
unfortunately, though, intent is something different than acting.
I know, but you're always, you know, I mean, people take, I take shit from people, but I have female roommates, and don't you want to fuck those girls? And I'll say no, and you don't believe me.
Look.
Or whoever. You know what I mean? You know, you take stuff from your girlfriend. You know, I take stuff from my girlfriend about, you know, what about this girl? And she's completely off base. She has no acumen for figuring things out.
Your girlfriend is wildly off the mark. But
yes.
I think in general...
I mean, I think I'm pretty good at that. I think so. If I see a woman, and I see Herman Cain, and I see this woman, and I go, let's imagine that they were out to dinner together.
But see, you know my type.
Sure.
So you know who I'm into.
Sure.
You'll know. You can
absolutely
figure that out.
Yeah, okay.
And the same
thing
with me. I get a fairly educated guess as to what you'd like.
Okay, yeah.
Apparently your girlfriend doesn't. Because it's with my girlfriend, I have intentionally seeded the clouds to make to make her think that anything's a possibility.
Listen, if I had sex with as many women as my girlfriend thinks I had sex with, I would have, I you know what I mean? I never would have rested.
Right.
I never would have fucking, I never would have finished a movie all the way through because I would have had to stop to bang some other chick.
Right.
It was unbelievable what I get accused of.
You're under suspicion.
I get accused of things.
Now I've cultivated that image, which is not true.
Okay,
but I did it just to keep her in line.
But you know, you just know people.
We go out to brunch.
Oh.
She can't eat her eggs Benedict without looking around and going, "What about that hipster?
Yeah.
What about that?
Right. Sure.
Glasses on that one." That's how I do it.
But she thinks you're attracted to women, or she thinks that you know them.
I am attracted to women.
Because I know you are, but that's fine to be attracted to women. But I'm saying they can't fault you for being attracted to.
No.
But it's just like a girl comes up to me, "Hey, Joel, what's up?" And immediately, I must have fucked her.
Right.
Immediately. Like, that's the number one
assumption. No, that's the difference.
"Hey, what's going on, Joel? Been a while."
You could safely assume that any girl over a 5,
sure,
I've wanted to bang at some point. It does not mean...
Right, yes.
It does not mean... made a move.
I
suggested it. I touched anything.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But I'm saying, I know you do know that about people, and I can see that. You know, if Herman Cain was out to dinner and drinks with this blonde at so and so, and they were staying in a nice hotel, and but something, you know, something.
The problem the problem is that we expect the political system, much like with this might be the most profound, insightful show we've ever done.
Is it really? We've solved the problems in the Middle East already.
We really did. Look, the problem is, the story is people who are powerful. Okay, you were just talking about comedians, okay, and wrestlers.
Sure.
The lifestyle that those people live is tailor-made for bizarre behavior.
Yes.
Okay, when you're in Chattanooga, Tennessee on a Wednesday night telling dick jokes to a room full of strangers, you're not living the normal punch o'clock 9-to-5 lifestyle. You are encouraged by the behavior. When you don't have to get out of bed till 4 o'clock in the afternoon to go to the hotel, you know, to go to the club, that makes a difference in your life and what you're probably willing to do.
Sure, yeah.
If you are going to be in politics, the desire to win, the desire to achieve, the desire to succeed started at an early age, started in grade school. You had to get to a good college. You had to edit the school newspaper. You had to edit the law journal. You had to move yourself up through the political process through every step. That takes a drive. Comedy requires a drive.
It's also
the really successful comedians have a drive. And you know what usually goes in line with those drives? Testosterone.
Yeah, getting laid.
And that it means... I just when people are shocked by what Anthony Weiner, right,
sure,
stupid of him to do what he did, but am I shocked by that?
No.
He was an ambitious guy.
Yeah.
Now the problem is when it's the Republicans and they're gay, and then they right
that
it seems like they're very ambitious.
That's a minority.
Some of those guys are really ambitious to get
but
cocks in their mouth.
Getting elected is tantamount really to getting laid. It really is trying to get somebody, convincing somebody to come with them.
You're in a charisma business.
Yeah, it really
is. Comedy is a business.
It is.
In which you say, my personality, as fucked up and shitty as it is, is enough to compel people to spontaneously laugh at me and spend money.
To see
that
you
involves that involves a jump of the ego. That will generally, and not in every case, because you meet plenty of comics who are dysfunctional sexually and can't get laid, or are scared of girls, and it's a weird business. But I think 7 out of 10 of them have pussy on their minds, and politicians
and also,
are no different.
And it comes down to opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you are somebody that's traveling, and you're married, but your wife's not around, or whatever you're doing, when you have that opportunity, and like, I'll never see this person again, and all that stuff. When you have opportunity, you know, some people just don't get laid because they don't have the opportunity to.
Right.
And then when you have the opportunity to, that's one more barrier that's broken down right there. Mm-hmm. And then you add to that the charisma, the reasoning for the other person to be attracted to you. So yeah. they can say, well, I slept with Herman Cain or I slept with whoever.
Right.
And they may get a favor out of that.
And it scales. It telescopes depending on how powerful you are, how successful you are. The bigger a star you are, the more tail you got access to.
Let me ask you a question.
So politics is the same. They also say it's Hollywood for ugly people.
Okay. DC. Yeah.
But
I'm, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I had a thought about this, and I thought I had this all figured out. And now I don't know. What are the odds right now? I'm not saying right now, like whatever time it is on Thursday. But in general, in the last year, in the last 4 years, in the last 5 years. Chances Obama's fucking something that's not named Michelle. I mean,
that's an interesting point because he doesn't give any indication that he's that kind of guy.
My conclusion the other day was that he absolutely has to be fucking something else. But at the same time, I get what you're saying. There is no smoke, and that's what's...
Yeah, it's what... And you know what? I might like him better if I knew he was out there as a coonhound.
See, I don't know. I kind of believe...
Excuse me, I said coonhound. I meant poonhound.
Poonhound.
Apologies. Well, also, people find Obama attractive.
Exactly. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean...
He's a good-looking guy.
But that is... that opportunity thing, that's what kind of...
You know what, though? I get nothing but the indication, and it's not just spin.
Yeah.
It's a sniff test. It's a feel.
Yeah.
I get nothing but the feeling like he's that kind of... He's a family guy.
Yeah.
And he's job-oriented, and he works on the policy. I don't know. He could be fucking everything that moves.
That's the thing. I don't know.
Look,
I mean,
Martin Luther King was a cocksmith.
Sure.
Okay.
The first George Bush was accused.
Well, the first George Bush had a mistress.
Yeah, that's what
it was revealed
when he was the vice president, right?
Documented.
Yeah,
when he was president.
When he was president, or when he was vice president.
Well, I think they documented when he was vice president.
When he was vice, and yeah,
but then no one caught him as president. But,
right, but he banged some chick in Europe. Right, it was like someone that traveled with him. But
Reagan stepped out on his wife to get with Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. The thing with Reagan was he was so old. By then,
yeah.
Who was he going to...
Well, that's the thing. With Reagan, you don't... Right. When you know...
If you look at Reagan's logs, though, Martha Ray got 45-minute private meetings with Reagan.
Well, how could she not? That Martha Ray.
You know, I see Esther Williams is on this list. What's going on?
Please. Jeez. No.
Now, how is Rue McClanahan getting a meeting with the president?
But I mean, Bush 2? Nothing?
Bush 2 didn't seem like he gave a shit.
Nothing.
No.
But he probably fucked everything that moved when he was younger.
You know what
right?
happened, though? He was a crazy party machine.
Yeah, he was.
And then he
doing
got,
coke every
And
minute.
Then he got all churchy to clean it up.
So
he was coked out of his head banging whores.
So
at some point,
I mean, I thought I had it all figured out, and I concluded that Obama was getting some tail on the side, and now I'm not so sure.
You know what? I haven't seen any indication. That now, if it comes out tomorrow, will I be shocked?
Sure.
Mildly.
But don't you
in Obama's case, I'll be mildly shocked.
And they're going to be looking for it coming up on this election next year.
They probably will. And you know what? I think he's smart, and he's not going to get. But he's like, oh, I got enough problems.
You might be. You might have that.
You know, which by the way, Clinton
that might be the reason.
By the way, if Clinton had just stuck to banging Eleanor Mondale, he wouldn't have a fucking problem.
Yeah.
And it's like Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys are good to be sex addicts. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
That Tiger literally banged a buffet waitress. I mean, like really, you know? He banged a chick from a Perkins.
It was a Perkins?
Yeah. Come on!
It was the Perkins manager.
He banged a Perkins chick. Look, you and I, if we were doing a bad Sabo gig, might bang a Perkins manager. Right. But Tiger Woods!
Well, here's the thing with Bret Hart. I'm reading Bret Hart's book because I'm that guy. Bret Hart, the great wrestler that wrestled for years. His saying, he did cocaine, he did steroids, he did a couple things, but he never had the problem with drugs and the other guys. And what kept him clean on the road is that every night he'd go to the hotel bar and he'd pick a different chick and he'd fuck her brains out.
Oh, well.
And he credits that. Now, granted, he had a wife and kids back in Calgary, but while he was on the road, he was fucking everything that moves. Yeah. And he credits that and he says, you know, I didn't have the problems the other guys had because I was lonely on the road. And the only, you know, some guys use drugs and alcohol to get through it, and I use chicks.
Look, it makes perfect sense to you and me, okay?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense to you and I.
I'm not saying that's good, but
if only we could convince chicks of this, okay? If only we could tell these women that want to get married how it really is.
Well.
And that's why I'm announcing, and you can follow me at at Corey Hall Comic.
Yeah,
on Twitter. On Twitter. I will be announcing.
Yes.
My new 12-step program to cheat and not get caught.
Oh, really? That's
I will.
The 12 steps to cheat.
Guys,
and not get
do this
caught.
Stuff
yeah.
and they're dumb.
Yeah. I got a feeling that Twitter's going to disappear before number 8.
You want a sneak preview? You want a sneak preview?
Yeah, let's have number 12 now. Go ahead. Come on.
Here's a sneak preview. Tell her that you're doing a podcast in Ferndale. Yeah.
Oh, honey, the podcast was 2 hours this week. I know.
Joel, it went long.
Joel edits it down.
Well, it took 4 hours by the time we were done working on it. See, that's what you do.
Meanwhile, we're flipping through Entertainment Weekly and eating chips and watching Eddie Murphy movie trailers before we get to the show. All right. You want to get to, please.
My 12-step guide to not getting caught.
Please review Jack and Jill, the new Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, for the love of Christ.
I know we're ready to go. I want to go. I want to end this debate.
Oh,
I want to.
I feel like I need some water.
Come back when Herman Cain. Do you want me to fill that up for you? You go ahead. Okay. You start on Jack and
Let
Jill.
Let me begin my review of Jack and Jill with the great Adam Sandler.
I'll get you some water.
All right. Jack and Jill is a motion picture. It is 89 minutes long. It's rated PG. It's appearing at local theaters near you, starring Adam Sandler, Katie Holmes.
Al Pacino
is the third biggest name in the movie.
Al Pacino. Yeah.
Here's what it is, folks. Adam Sandler hates you. Adam Sandler has contempt for you.
Does he really?
He has made attempts to make good films.
Mm-hmm.
He made a film called Punch Drunk Love with a director named Paul Thomas Anderson.
All right.
That film got him a lot of critical praise. All
right.
It got a lot of nerd fanboys who worked at places called video stores, which don't exist anymore, excited. They thought it was a masterpiece. It got him exactly zero Oscar nominations.
Yes.
It got him exactly $0 at the box office. End of experiment.
Well, you're not considering Spanglish or Funny People
okay,
in
Spanglish,
that experiment?
Spanglish was made by James L. Brooks. And it was garbage. It was hot. He should have made a movie with Albert Brooks. That's the good
yeah.
Brooks. Okay, James L. Brooks, and he did create The Simpsons in part. He was one of the founders of The Simpsons. And
Terms of Endearment.
He made Broadcast News.
Yeah,
that was the 80s. What have you done for he has made awful, awful
His
films.
Movies have been bad as of late. Good as it gets.
He made a movie called Did That Just Happen? Or what was it called? It had Owen Wilson and
yeah, I know
Reese
what you
and I think it was called "Did That Just Happen?" Anyway,
okay, go ahead on Adam Sandler.
Just dreadful. All right,
okay.
Adam Sandler has made occasional forays into Ben Stiller. Will make his own movies and has talent.
Okay,
he also stars in Drek,
uh-huh.
But he'll make every now and then. Ben Stiller will make a Tropic Thunder, and all will be forgiven.
Okay.
He'll make a really funny movie. And you can look the other way when he does another goddamn Fockers movie.
Okay? Right, yeah.
Adam Sandler, or Ben Stiller did Greenberg, which was a great little movie. An indie movie that no one saw, but was terrific. Sandler can't pull that off, so he just goes and gives up. He has contempt for the audience. He's lazy. He's despicably lazy.
Yeah.
He doesn't make films anymore. He takes vacations on studio dollars. That's what he does. He says, you think we could get Universal to put this one out, and we'll go to Hawaii. What do you think? You want to go to Hawaii? Spain? You want to go to Hawaii? We'll go to what we'll do? We'll make a movie. We'll get a cabin up in the Adirondacks, then we'll go and we'll hang out. It'll be a pool party. Chris Rock, you want to come on? And he does. That's what he does.
Yeah.
That was with the movie Grown Ups.
Yeah.
They literally went to a cabin on a lake. They shot that movie from 9 to 5, and then they went out and they fucking drank on a raft at night, every night, right?
You're
that's
right,
what they did on that
I'm
movie.
Sure they did.
Okay, that was that movie. That was 2010's wonderful entry.
Yeah, or 2009,
in the Happy Madison catalog.
Grown Ups, yes.
Then he made a movie called Just Go With It.
Yes.
Okay? That film starred him and Jennifer Aniston and Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah.
And that movie, what happened? What was the plot of that movie? Well, he was trying to impress a girl, but Jennifer Aniston was secretly in love with him. So he took them both to Hawaii so that they could get in bikinis and romp around on the beach in bikini. Literally.
Yeah.
In that movie, there's like a 2-minute shot of Brooklyn Decker getting out of the water with just water bouncing off her tits. Then that's followed by Jennifer Aniston getting out of the water with water bouncing off her tits.
Yeah.
It was a vacation. Well, he went, Swanson, you want to come to Hawaii? we'll make a movie. And so that's what they did. They fucking went to Hawaii. Yeah. I shabba-da-doo. And they went to fucking Hawaii and they made a movie. And that's all he does.
So what is where?
So
this...
in Jack and Jill, they go on a fucking cruise ship.
Oh,
that's what they do. Halfway through the movie, they get on a goddamn princess. They get on a fucking princess cruise boat, and they take a vacation on the studio's dollar.
Wow,
that's what he does.
Screaming.
He's a lazy piece of shit. They fucking goof off. What they do is they get a bucket and they all jerk off onto a script. Alan Covert, these no talent fucking Smigel takes a paycheck. One of the funniest fucking guys in the world.
He wrote this?
He's got a writing credit on
it.
Smigel, come over and we'll write a movie and we'll play poker. That's what they fucking jerk off onto a scrap piece of paper. They throw it on a screen.
Oh.
They charge you $12 to fucking watch this.
How does he fare as playing him and the twin sister?
Here's how he fares. He plays Jack, which is Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Literally, I almost think they shot this in his house.
Yeah, they just...
Okay, here's the plot.
Sleep in his own bed at night.
Let me just blueprint the plot for you, for a minute.
Please.
Okay, Jack and Jill are identical twins or fraternal twins or whatever. I don't know if you can... Can you be...
You can't be identical if
male
one
female?
Male and female. That's not identical. You have to be fraternal.
So they're fraternal twins.
Yes.
Okay, they're twins, though. Mm-hmm. And they're identical... Male and female twins.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So Jack is a successful advertising director.
Of course he is.
Okay, he directs...
Because everyone in a movie is an advertising guy.
Well, he directs commercials so successfully. Which, by the way, directing commercials is kind of a lower rung in show business. I mean, I'm sure guys make
money
off it.
Yeah,
right.
I think it pays.
Maybe if you make infomercials, you're getting rich. Anyway,
okay. It
pays. This pays apparently enough to buy a Brentwood mansion. That's just fucking fabulous, right? Okay, it's got, you know, manicured lawns. It's got it's got sculpted shrubbery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got corkscrew shaped bushes.
Yeah.
You know, Daffy Duck carved into a bush. Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Beautiful, immaculate pool in the Hollywood Hills somewhere, Brentwood or fucking Malibu. I don't know where he is, but anyway, he's living fat on the hog. So every year at Thanksgiving, he's got to put up with his obnoxious, gassy, overweight bitch of a sister who's annoying. And so Adam Sandler plays himself as Jack, and then this is the wonderful characterization that he does as Jill. Oh, hello, I'm Jill! That's what he fucking does, okay?
Yeah.
People said Jerry Lewis was a hack. People said Jerry Lewis was an asshole and that he's beloved in France and he's a piece of shit here. No one likes Adam Sandler. France would piss on Adam Sandler. Oh, this is no sacré bleu. He's merde. Incroyable. Fucking rotten. It's rotten. Is Adam Sandler doing a funny voice for an 89-minute movie? Oh. And it's annoying as hell. It wouldn't last as a 3-minute sketch.
I made a prediction before you into this. I said, is there going to be a scene where Sandler, as the guy, dresses up as the sister?
You were fucking
and
right.
And pretends to be the sister, yes.
Absolutely correct.
Of course.
Yes.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
Because this movie, we broke it down. This movie is both an annoying Sandler movie, but it also is like the twin twist movie.
Yes.
I guess it's the fish out of water movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy dressed in drag comedy.
It's a trifecta.
It's almost like a fat suit movie. I mean, it works on every bad comedy body switch plot line that you could have.
How do you know that was the name of the bad James Ellsworth movie? Anyway, it's rotten. It's really, like, I thought that Just Go With It was bad. I thought Just Go With It was lame, but at least you got, like, hot chicks in bikinis.
Yeah.
You get none of that here.
There's nothing.
Katie Holmes is his girlfriend. It's PG.
It's
so
PG.
I would say, for one thing, you hear fart noises, but you don't actually get anybody smearing poop on the lens.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
Right.
It's just dreadful.
How many nut shots? Got to be a few nut shots.
A limited number of nut shots.
But there's nut shots, yes.
Well, once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, remember we saw Paul Blart Mall Cop and every
we counted the ball shots.
It was the number of ball shots we saw.
They dubbed that movie P.S.
I still consider that the all-time worst. And,
P.S. ball
and
shots.
This could have been worse, I guess.
You haven't seen these Sandler
movies. This does look bad, yeah.
It's dreadful.
It's
hurtfully stupid. It's really... And the audience sat there and laughed. And, I just looked at them like... I've had a couple times... I've been reviewing movies for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I generally understand why an audience likes a movie.
Yeah.
It might not be my taste, but I can generally go, okay, that was a Farrelly Brothers movie and it was lame, but I get why. I laughed a couple times. Good.
Yeah.
There's not a laugh in this dire piece of
So
shit.
Who did you see the screening with? Was there a regular,
just regular
public?
It was regular public and critics. Ugh. But it was a nighttime screening.
But it got laughs? Or
yeah, it got laughs. Oh, and yeah. And the fact that it got... Well, you know what? It didn't get laughs as consistently as some of the other stuff. I think they even knew that it sucked in a lot of ways. But, like, he's doing that bad voice, okay? Uh-huh. And that bad voice kills every line of dialogue. Sure. It just... And you want to poke your eyes out with a fucking sewing needle. It's awful. But yet, then he goes, does that voice, and falls down. And they go, hey, he fell down! If you like this movie, you're a dope. Adam Sandler is making fun of you. It's a performance art piece.
Yeah, I'm...
He's going... I think I could make the biggest piece of shit.
But that's the feeling with him. Does he just not care anymore?
Couldn't care fucking less. Couldn't give two shits. You know what? I usually don't say this because I think making a movie is hard to do.
Yeah.
And I review movies, and sometimes I'm a little hard on stuff, and I go, well, somebody worked on that movie.
Well,
not a soul lifted a finger.
We talked about this about before you went, and my argument was, you said that you were surprised that they would even show this to critics, and my feeling was that, well, if they don't show it to critics to review it, it's not going to be in the paper on Friday when it's coming out. So my feeling is they just, anyone who's going to see this, it doesn't care about the review anyway.
Yeah, which is...
They want that headline of new Adam Sandler in the movie theater. The people that are fans of Sandler aren't going to read the body of the review and realize it sucks, but they're going to know that it's out, and so they'll go see it if they liked Happy Gilmore or some shit.
Well, I'm going to go with... let's see what... okay, so the previous Happy Madison, which is his production company, previous production was not a Sandler starring film, but he wrote it.
Okay.
And it was called Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star.
Yes.
It achieved a perfect zero on Rotten Tomatoes, okay? Which has happened almost never.
Right. Do you have a Metacritic for that? Because that is a better way to...
Here's the...
Because it could get, you know, it could get 2 stars and still not pass on Rotten Tomatoes and yet still have a 25.
Currently, Jack and Jill is polling at zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
It's 100% rotten.
Okay.
Let's see what it's pulling.
No one's gonna
on Metacritic.
Yeah, get the Metacritic for that.
Here we go. What do we got here?
They may not do the Metacritic until Friday.
Yeah, I don't see it. Yet.
I have the Bucky Larson Metacritic.
What's that?
Well, it's a 9, which is great if it was out of 10, but it's out of 100.
Okay, let me put it this way. A very Harold and Kumar Christmas. Okay? Not exactly what we call a highbrow comedy.
Right.
Okay. That's a movie. Literally, this is a movie where a man gets his genitals frozen to a pole. Okay.
I have the Jack and Jill Metacritic now.
Okay. On camera. All right. What do you think a very Harold and Kumar Christmas pulled?
On what? Metacritic?
On Metacritic. What do you think it pulled?
45.
61.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's a respectable score for a dumb comedy.
Sure.
What did Adam Sandler and his wonderful Jack and Jill pull?
Oh, 21.
Fucking fuck. And I want to know who this is.
I'll tell you, because they do. First of all, it's got 9 reviews right now. 1 positive, 1 mixed, and 1 negative. The positive is from Tom Russo of the Boston Globe. Now, granted, is Sandler from Boston? Or Sandler from New York?
I think he's from New York.
He might be from New York, but... The guy from the Boston Globe. What's more genuinely wacky is what a kick the movie can be sometimes be, completely in spite of its big flat stunt.
Its big flat stunt, which would be the whole picture
that's the tagline that they pulled.
Yeah, you're right. No, they did a bit where Sandler as the boy in the Twins dresses up like the sister because he's trying to get Al Pacino to do a commercial for Dunkin' Donuts, and Al Pacino's madly in love with Jill.
Right.
Which is the stupid... There's one funny scene in the fucking movie. There's one moderately funny scene in the movie. Al Pacino is doing a Shakespeare play. I think he's doing one of the Henrys.
Okay.
Henry IV or whatever. He's doing the play and a cell phone goes off.
Uh-huh.
And he stops and yells at everybody in the audience. Mm-hmm. And he's like... Or no, I'm sorry. He answers the phone when Sandler calls him.
Oh, okay.
after he'd already yelled at the audience. Yeah. Anyway, he answers the phone himself and he goes, "Oh, calm down. It's L.A. You don't care about plays. Bruce fucking Jenner's in this thing." And there's Bruce Jenner standing there. That's the one funny moment in the whole goddamn movie.
Here's the USA Today, Scott Bowles, a comedy that has one good joke, four strange cameos, and a spirit so juvenile kids may wonder what Sandler's deal is.
The cameos, by the way.
He got a 12. Rolling Stone gave it a 0 from Peter Travers. Yeah. A total bust, a stupefyingly unfunny and shamelessly lazy farce packed with cringeworthy jokes and overt product placement.
Yeah, well, they stop in the movie to plug Dunkin' Donuts. they stop in the movie to plug Pepto-Bismol. Like, they work the product placement under the context that Sandler is shooting commercials for the thing.
Oh, okay,
right.
Yeah.
There's literally, and it's pretty, it'll probably be viral. They haven't leaked it, but it could be viral. They actually do the commercial with Pacino where he raps about drink my Dunkachino. Everybody loves my Dunkachino. And it's really bad. And then Pacino, like, whatever. It's
bad.
You know what, though? None of that saves. Okay, there's cameos, by the way, from.
Oh, you're going to ruin it.
Fuck you.
I know, exactly. Yeah, Go ahead. Corey might actually hit me. Go ahead and talk about all you want.
If you're going to go plop down money for this movie, you might as well just suck a tailpipe. You waste of skin. The stars. Okay, this movie features cameos from no less than Drew Carey.
Oh, my God.
Because Sandler stops and does The Price is Right. And he goes on The Price is Right and
gets Jill. As Jill. Of
Jill
course.
Goes on The Price is Right and gets knocked out by the spinning wheel. She spins the wheel and knocks herself out.
Me laughing is not indicative that I would find the actual movie funny.
I know. He hits himself in the head with the big wheel, which is kind of good. Yeah. So Drew Carey shows up. Regis Philbin shows up.
Maybe this red funny.
I know. Regis shows up. Regis and Kelly show up.
Of course they
Because
do.
They're discussing how Pacino freaked out on stage. Ugh. So
Pacino's playing Pacino, I'm
Pacino
guessing.
Plays Pacino. Okay, yeah. The plot is... Jack wants Pacino to do this Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Okay, yeah.
But Pacino has a thing for his sister for reasons that elude everyone. Because the sister is a big fucking annoying piece of shit who sweats on the bed and farts everywhere. And then the gardener's into her, too. And the gardener takes her to a picnic where she eats Mexican food. And then she comes home and shits up the house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Joel. Joel, it hurts my face.
Oh, here it is. Jack and Jill. This is Hollywood Reporter David Ernie. Jack and Jill is witless and sloppily constructed, getting by on fart gags, homeless jokes, Latino stereotypes, and that old favorite, explosive chimichanga diarrhea.
Oh, God.
And no, not in an inspired bridesmaid's way.
The Bridesmaids was at least funny with that.
When they all had Mexican food. Yeah, they had bad Mexican food.
Oh, it's awful. There's a scene, like, the fat joke, the dress-up drag stuff extends to the guy who's playing the bad stereotype Mexican gardener takes her on a date to eat Mexican food and introduces her to his grandmother, played by the same guy in grandma makeup. It's so bad, Joel.
What was the movie like in the 80s? Oh, I was on the other day and I recorded it.
Just one of the guys?
No, there was one. It was sort of like that where the guys were at college and they were so horny that they...
Oh, they dressed up.
It was Matthew Modine. Matthew Modine was the star. And Phoebe Cates was one of the sorority girls.
Private school?
Private school might have been it. And they had to dress up as chicks. And then they dressed up as chicks, and all of a sudden, these girls were, like, throwing themselves at him. But they couldn't reveal that they were guys. And, like, these women were like, "Oh, my calves are so sore. Would you give me a massage?" And then the guys would be it was the fucking worst movie. And the guys didn't look like, you know, it was like Bosom Buddies or something. But they couldn't pass as chicks for a second.
I'm just going to come out on record. Drag is never funny.
Drag. Although, Some Like It Hot and Tootsie are two of the greatest comedies ever made, in my opinion.
Well,
but
in your
those
opinion.
Are the exceptions. No, those are considered great.
No, I know. People love those. Tootsie, I could do without.
No,
but
Tootsie's great.
Some Like It Hot is funny, but that's Billy Wilder, so,
Tootsie
you know.
Is good.
Private School, that's the movie.
Yeah, what year is that? 83, 82?
Yeah, that's exactly right, 83.
Because it was like right after
Well, you can tell cause
Fast Times.
You can tell because they're still wearing preppy clothes. When they start wearing the ridiculous
private school
pastel blazers.
Yeah, you can see that. I saw that in high definition on some channel that I had the other day.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Phoebe Cates.
Betsy Russell.
Yeah, but even Ray Walston is in this, which was a reunion from Fast Times.
Who doesn't love Ray Walston?
Yeah, so anyway. private school.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Oh. So this Jack and Jill can fuck up. Jack and Jill can go up a hill and fuck themselves. That's what I should have, my review. That's, it's so bad. It's so awfully dry. I actually, at the start of my review, I said, Adam Sandler is no more funny than your 11-year-old nephew making arm fart noises at the dinner table, but you wouldn't pay that kid $20 million. It's just, it's dreadful.
It's bad. But
he ought to be ashamed.
Well, this, okay, I'll give you an over-under box office on this. Opening weekend. Under.
$35 million.
No, really, I was gonna go way low. I was gonna say 20.
Let's look at what the box office was on the previous Adam Sandler movies, shall we?
Yeah, give me the just go with it. That maybe that's a good indication. Although, you know, that had Aniston, and I think Aniston's still a draw, so.
All right. Can you put in where's a site where I can put in the
Box Office Mojo?
All right.
I'll go there too. We can tag team this
Sandler.
Bitch. Yeah, you should be able to search by Sandler or. Okay, I'll give you the tracking. It looks like that's their lead story. Jack and Jill, they're saying, well, should win the weekend. I don't have enough. Okay, their weekend forecast for Jack and Jill is 25.5.
All right.
I was saying 20, but okay, 25.5.
I'm going 30.
You're going to say 30. And what did his last movies make?
We got to look at those up.
Did you get those yet? I'm doing much better than you. Just Go With It opened at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Grown Ups opened at 40. Funny People opened at 22. Bedtime Stories, 27. Okay. This might have been where he lost, but Don't Mess With the Zohan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you think you lose some fans after that?
$38 million. But lifetime gross was $100 million.
Right, but
by the way, Funny People's lifetime gross.
Just Go With It made $100 million.
Lifetime. Okay, Funny People's lifetime gross.
51. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So he's basically taking Sony Pictures to the bank for his vacation funds. It's really, although.
I mean, it's hard to argue, though. I mean, you really. What was the dumbest movie that he's made to this point?
I would say
Zohan?
His absolute worst movie was Little Nicky.
Little Nicky. Okay, and that opened at 16 but only made $39 million.
That stunk.
Okay. So.
But Big Daddy made $163 million.
Yeah.
The Waterboy made $161 million.
But see, stuff that people love, Billy Madison only made $25 million and Happy Gilmore only made $38 million.
Yeah.
So it's like he.
His lowest grossing movie was another attempt at a serious movie, Rain Over Me.
Okay.
That made 19.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Click, which was disastrously awful, $137 million.
Well, his biggest gross of all time looks to be Big Daddy, which made $163 million. So.
Yeah, but he's got a bunch of. The Waterboy was $161 million.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know.
The Wedding Singer, which I consider a watchable Sandler movie.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that bad in the terms of Adam Sandler.
But that looks like that's where he took off.
Dad only made 80. Yeah,
that
before
was the
that,
beginning
his stuff
of,
made nothing.
That
yeah.
was the beginning of his rise.
Yeah, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore didn't make a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to make, you're right, he's going to make more than 20.
Shakes the Clown made $115,000. That's incredible. Well, he's going to make more money, and it's going to be a disaster.
All right, well.
Well, he can't be stopped. You know what? We don't have any time to get into the other shithead, Eddie Murphy.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about Eddie in the past, but Eddie's out of the Oscars. And he might have been out of the Oscars anyway. Maybe he just decided that since they were replacing Brett Ratner, who said rehearsal was for fags.
Sure.
And all he should have said, it wasn't a knock on fags. It was a knock on rehearsal. But he wasn't smart enough to say that. Actually, that probably wouldn't have helped. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a real PR strategist over there. I didn't mean to offend the pillow buyers. I just meant rehearsals.
Look,
for
the Bone Smugglers should not be offended by this comment.
Bone Smugglers has made two appearances on the show.
Is it really? Okay. Right. Sorry for stealing your shit.
Yeah, that's okay.
But anyway, so Eddie Murphy's out, and then he had this movie called 1,000 Words, which is coming out, which looks every bit as bad as any Adam Sandler.
I mean, really, the trailer for Jack and Jill was one of the worst trailers.
It's got to be considered the worst.
And the movie is no better. It's just dreadful. Yeah. But people continue to go see
it. It's going to make its money.
It's going to make its money.
Because it really is almost a Thanksgiving weekend thing. Now, that's going to be the second week of release. But, you know, it's almost, you know, it doesn't, I guess it's not competing with Twilight, which will be out that next week. So,
yeah, Eddie's new movie Tower Heist opened at 24.
Poorly. 24 is okay, but you got what do you Stiller think that cost? And Murphy. Not much.
Oh, I think it
I think Tower Heist cost
a lot.
Oh, you think Tower Heist was cost 80 or something?
Well, because of, look at the salaries.
Look at the salaries, yeah.
You got to have Stiller, you got to pay Murphy, you got to pay
Broderick all and those Ratner people. And yeah, all those guys. Yeah. All right, maybe you're right about that.
Meanwhile,
Jack and Jill was made for $20 million or something.
Let me look at, yeah, that's the other ridiculous thing. His movie, because literally, they rented a cruise ship. That's what they do. I swear to God, they shot it at Sandler's house. He makes movies where it's about how he's a put-upon rich guy who just wants peace and quiet in his mansion, and he's got wacky kids and neighbors. Anyway, it's terrible. Terrible. Eddie at least has had his box office has sucked.
Yes.
Shrek the Third, which, you know, he can only be partly
You can't give him too much credit for.
Made $322 million. But, his last big personal hit was Norbit, which made just shy of 100. But
yeah, you know, when Norbit makes 100, that means raise the box office price a dollar or two. That means Jack and Jill is going to make. Although Norbit, you got the black factor in there too.
Yeah.
Where you know, black people will go and see that, whereas I don't see black people run into a Sandler movie. But
see, Sandler's had consistent hits with a couple flops.
Yeah.
Eddie's only been sprinkling hits in between, cuz like The Adventures of Pluto Nash made $4 million. I mean, it did the bomb.
And I'm sure Meet Dave and these.
Well, Meet Dave did 11.
That was the gross? The total gross for Meet Dave?
Lifetime gross.
Oif.
$11 million. Oif. And it played.
I got to pull up the Eddie Murphy.
It played in 3,000 theaters. And imagine that made a robust $16 million playing in 3,008 theaters. So he's tanked on a couple movies recently. But then you look at the Shrek numbers and he's looking good.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, look at the Daddy Daycare, for Christ's sakes. Look what that made.
What did Daddy Daycare make?
$104 million.
I can't even see Daddy Daycare. I might have gone down too far. Oh, yeah, $104 million. Yeah.
Do you want to know what the Nutty Professor 2, the Clumps, made?
I have it right here.
Yeah.
It made a fucking shitload of money, $123 million.
Can you believe?
But it opened at $42
million. Oh, my God. It's
incredible.
What is wrong with people?
Well, that's what's wrong with America.
Yeah.
Those people will be voting for the president of the United States next year.
That's true.
Maybe Herman Cain needs to put on a fat suit. Maybe that's what he needs to come out.
Herman Cain should come out to the next debate with a fart machine. I think that Rick Perry, I think that your tax plan deserves.
Maybe Herman Cain's twin sister can come out and
Hermanita.
Yeah, and it'd be, I think Herman is a good man.
You're full of shit, Newt Gingrich. I'll slap the taste out your mouth.
Right.
Oh, Tyler Perry could run
Tyler
in a dress.
Fucking Herman Cain.
The House of Stupids.
I did not see it, but I know Funny or Die did Mike Tyson as Herman Cain today, and apparently it was funny.
All right, I've had enough.
All right, I'm tapping out too.
Oh,
so,
God.
That's fine. We'll get out of here. Thank you, Corey, for joining us for Joel Radio.
Yeah, shalom.
And don't forget about Corey's Twitter. I think that's the big news of the day.
Corey Hall Comic, at Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
Corey Hall Comic, and lots going on.
You can vote for me in the Improv Up Yours contest.
Oh, my goodness. Wherever that is.
That's on Twitter.
Oh, that's on Twitter. They can link to it.
I'll link it again. I'll tweet it again. There you go.
And that's it. What else is there?
I'm only 3,000 votes behind the winner.
So if everyone that listens to the show votes 2,000 times.
2,500 times.
Yeah, if you vote 300 times for Corey.
I think the leader's got like 1,200
or something. It's insurmountable.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
I don't know how they pulled that off.
I don't know either. Who gives a shit? Let's go.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. See ya. I'm gonna heal my lip.